Con Show with Anna DeBlanc and for another day of broadcast influence. All right, I gotta thank some people.
Okay.
For right the weekend. The I gotta get right into the business, of the business.
Okay.
Coming up, Ed Obradovich is going to join us at 4:40 this afternoon. When he does join us, I want you to turn your radio down because your speakers will break based on how loud he's going to get.
No question.
About what happened here. Because they didn't get a post-game show last night, right? They weren't able to do that. They had to do the pre-game. We knew what was going on there. But when OB, Hamp and OB with Kaz, you know, when they go, they go. And yesterday's performance by the Chicago Bears was, how can I put it? I can't say that word. Wait, I can't say that word either. It was poop on a shingle is what it was. It was basically, as Lauren Lapka likes to say, garbage. That's
pure garbage.
Yeah, in the Chicago accent. I couldn't believe, what was I looking at? So here's who I want to thank before we get started with the program. I need to thank John Alfirovich from Apple Chevrolet. You hear me talk about him all the time. He has one of the best tailgates in the history of tailgating in the south lot of Soldier Field. And he's been doing it for, well, I don't think he wants me to say how long, because then that might age him, but it's decades upon decades. And everybody out there, that whole part of the south lot, I mean, that's generational. Their dads were doing it, now they're doing it, their kids are with them, and those kids will do it eventually. That's why they did not want to build the Lucas Museum there. Because
preserve right, the tailgating.
It was going to get in the way of the generational tailgating out there. Okay, I get it. I understand. But I got to thank John Alfirovich and the fine folks at of his tailgate. Because he does this thing with Slivovitz, Zhivo, as they call it, depending on, you know, whatever part of southern or southeastern Europe you are from.
You've got a drink just like that.
Yes, you have a drink just like it. Mostly it's the same thing.
Right.
Whatever it is, you all have a different way of pronouncing it, whether in Hungary or Croatia or Serbia or whatever.
Usually tend not to taste so good, but they're super duper strong.
Turpentine.
Yeah.
It tastes like
similar.
Turpentine. Yeah.
We have ouzo in the Greek culture.
Yes, you do.
Similar.
Yeah, similar.
No one really likes the taste of it, but you do it. Everyone's got a little shot of ouzo. You have a shot of ouzo.
Right. So
or two.
We did a so they sing a song. We were doing the shots. I got into the stadium, and for the first half, I didn't care.
You're pumped.
I didn't care.
Well, you didn't care. You mean even as things started to go south, you're
feeling
nothing.
It's gonna be fine. And then I started to sober up, and that was a problem. Because
it was sobering.
It was one of the worst things I've ever seen. Kevin, oh my God.
It was embarrassing, atrocious, pathetic, one of the worst offensive performances I've seen in a long time. At some point, the Bears have to ask themselves, how long do you stick with Mitch Trubisky? You're sacrificing wins, potentially, for the development of Mitch Trubisky, and he has not gotten better this season. He looks like he has zero confidence out there. Matt Nagy completely outcoached again. Sean Payton dialed up a great game plan for the Bears, just as John Gruden did in their loss in London. It was just completely horrible on all levels. Special teams, offense, it's kind of tough to get on the defense, considering the time of possession, how lopsided it was. It felt like the Saints offense was on the field the entire game, but just about nobody played well. You had Cordarrelle Patterson made something happen on a kickoff, but outside
and
of
I
that
I was in the bathroom. I want to
oh no
out.
You missed
oh
the one highlight
God.
So really completely awful. You know, speaking of drinking, there is the drinking game I've been talking about is the Mitch Trubisky overthrow drinking game. Every time he overthrows a receiver,
die.
You take a shot, you'll be lit up by halftime.
You could kill someone with that game.
He can't hit a moving target right now. I don't know how much the left shoulder injury factored into it, but he was really, really, really bad. And Matt Nagy had to dumb down the offense. 7 carries yesterday.
They ran
the ball 7 times. That's a franchise low for the Chicago
Ridiculous.
Bears. Are you kidding me?
Montgomery was he deported?
Where
was he?
Well, he had 2 carries, and then in his last carry, he fumbled the ball away. So they really weren't getting anything going. Matt Nagy all week stressed first down gains, putting themselves in better situations on second down and avoiding third and long. That wasn't the case. Their first 3 first downs of the game, they had a total of 5 yards. 5 yards on your 3 first downs when you had 2 weeks to prepare for the Saints, who didn't have Drew Brees, Alvin Kamara, their starting tight end, their third wide receiver. Are you kidding me? You're coming out of a bye, and that's the performance you deliver?
It's
that
tough.
Was pathetic.
They handed it to us, and we still couldn't do it. It doesn't make any sense. 65% of the college quarterbacks I watched this weekend were way better than Trubisky. That's saying something.
Yeah, the problem was, I think that in the past, we had other excuses to point to. Remember the season opener? And we said, well, the starters didn't play in the preseason. So, you know, they were a little rusty, right? The London game, they didn't, remember your theory? They got on the plane too late. They didn't have enough sleep, right? That was our excuse. I don't think you look at this and say that there's just
turns
a little
out that
fix
wasn't
here.
It.
Yeah, you know, they're 30.
Or no more excuses.
They're 3-3, just like they were last year. But I think we can all agree it's a completely different feeling this year because, look, I always try to bring perspective to these games when certain people panic and try to go the best, the worst, the greatest, the worst we've ever seen. I think it is appropriate to hit the panic button in this situation because the offense has been so bad this season. When we thought it was going to make strides, we thought what we saw from Matt Nagy last year with the innovative offense, we thought Mitch Trubisky in his third year would make some strides. All we heard about in camp was how loaded the offense was, how dynamic the offense could be. And really the only guy playing well on the offensive side of the ball is Allen Robinson, who continues to perform for them despite nobody else really getting open, running crisp routes. Just bad all around. And the offensive line, not good. Just bad. Top to bottom.
Wait, can't what's really the point of having great receivers when we can't even get the ball to them?
Lot to factor into that. It was just a complete disaster for the Bears, and it really puts a pit in your stomach because there's no reason to have hope moving forward after the performances we've seen. I mean, what did we see that says, okay, this can be a legit offense?
This is like a younger, prettier version of Hamp and OB, these two. Have you noticed that? Sort of a, I just gotta say, it's bad. Now, all right, so the two things happened. Let me bring it back to me for a second, and then we'll find out what's going on in the WGN-TV newsroom. I missed the run back. I'm in the bathroom, right? You're sort of in the line. You're in the line that actually gets into the bathroom, mm-hmm. and you're in the line in the bathroom.
So no TVs?
No. No TVs in the bathroom. And it was one of those situations where they had converted a woman's room to a men's room. So it was all stalls, you know?
Yeah. I didn't know they did that.
That confuses me when that happens. It just confuses
You're like,
me.
Like, where are the urinals?
What am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
So we're all standing in there, and all of a sudden you hear the crowd going nuts, and then people start running out, losing their place in line. Well, I was at a point, post Slivovitz, where I could not actually do that. I had to maintain my position outside said, like in line in queue there. So and then they're running back in, and people are describing the play, and then I go back out. The guy I'm sitting next to says, where were you? You missed the one play of the game. And I said, I was in the bathroom. And then something else happened. Oh, the blocked or the missed field goal happened. I was in the bathroom. And the guy literally, I'd never met this guy before in my life till yesterday, looks at me and goes, you're going to have to leave now.
You're like the commercial.
Only good stuff happens when you're not here.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Hey, that's a superstition.
Brutal.
Yeah.
Just brutal.
Yeah. All right. Well, Edgar Bradovich will be here. He'll be able to share his thoughts himself with all of us. Thank God. It's coming up at 4:40. Also, I should mention a couple things. Mike Monaco is going to be here at 3:40, trying to understand the opioid settlement here. For people who've been affected by this, for people who had, whether people addicted to opioids in their family or, God forbid, gotten hurt or killed by them, Mike will explain what's going on there. Joe Mantegna is going to be on the program today at 5:40, along with Ronnie Marmo. They're doing a Lenny Bruce one-man show. Even though that's two guys, it's a one-man show. We'll explain. And Sweet Lou Canales will also join us in the 6 o'clock hour, because he's got his own thoughts on things that happened.
Very nice.
Because we're like halfway through the season. Next week is the halfway point for the NFL. You know, sort of, right? It's week 8. And I don't know how the Bears make the playoffs. I don't know how that happens now.
Well, you got to figure they got to win 7 or 8 of the final 10.
Yeah, because they got to get past Green Bay that looks unbeatable.
Oh,
and you're not going to be able to do that. And I don't think they're going to be in a wild card position because they keep losing.
Why does it seem like they are even worse than they were last year at this time?
Because they are. That, you know what? Let me answer that.
I mean, that question was asked to everybody yesterday, and not one person had an answer. So.
Yeah, there's really no reason for it. But they are. I don't know how that's possible.
Garbage.
Garbage.
Pure
garbage Bears.
Yeah, that's what they are. All right. I hate to say it. It pains me to say it. But first, let's now check in with the I don't know if you're hamper OB in this particular thing, but here's Lauren Lapka. She's got the traffic.
Get Real in the Morning with Larry Potash, Robin Baumgarten, Paul Conrad, and the entire WGN-TV Morning News team. It's off weekdays, 4 a.m. to 10 a.m. on WGN-TV.
Ben Bradley joins us right now from the WGN-TV Newsroom. Benjamin?
Row him in. Anna, I'm in.
Can we just very quickly, I know we've been covering this in the WGN Radio Newsroom, but you've got this in the WGN-TV Newsroom as well. There was an explosion at a gate at Midway, but this was a battery in a bag?
Yeah, explosion I think is a little large of a word to use in this scenario. Yeah, there was a battery of some type. It was being loaded onto a plane, and something caused it to explode. There, I guess I just used the word. No injuries.
It's a big word.
No issues. Nothing sinister.
Run over by. Did they say run over by a truck, though?
Apparently.
I love this.
You got to wonder if the guy who saved the runaway beverage cart at O'Hare has been transferred to Midway, and that's what went. That's what happened.
Jose, beverage cart Jose, wasn't it?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. The hero was, America needed last week.
Yeah,
two weeks
we did.
Ago.
That was cool to see. Mm-hmm. So is it a lithium battery? Do we know that?
I don't know the answer to that.
It's an exploding battery. It's one of those, you know, fake exploding batteries you get when you want to punk your friends.
Yeah.
Here, put this in your computer.
Always appropriate for air travel.
Always appropriate. Never want to hear the word explode in airport in the same sentence.
Well, no. You know,
not used often.
And that's the thing. It was going into the lower baggage compartment. Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the that's what people are concerned about. That's right. What aviation folks are concerned about. Are those things getting in to the, you know, to underneath there and then causing the thing?
It's why every time you book an airline ticket, you have to answer the question. Are you going to be traveling with the lithium batteries and these other banned items? And you have to say no.
In other words, Anna DeFontis is the only person who's ever read that.
You guys don't read that? You know why I read that? Because one time I was on a plane and this guy came on the plane with holding two lithium batteries. Oh. And the flight attendant told him it was okay. And I had to look up the FAA regulations.
Are you waving the terms of carriage around at him?
Yes.
No, sir, violation. Section 2-5-3.
I did. You laughed, but I did. Because I was very worried about being on that plane.
Mm. I get on a plane, I wear a vest. I wear one of those journalism vests, you know, that has all the pockets on it. And I put nothing but lithium batteries in the vest all the way around me.
Well,
and then I step on the plane. And,
I would call
attention to that.
I don't know why people get scared.
Yeah. And Lysol wipes.
Who is this guy? What is he doing? It's not okay.
That does not look like lithium batteries.
No.
Yeah,
the other interesting incident that we're covering later today happened at the City Club of Chicago. Not normally a place for too many antics, but you'll recall another radio station, sorry, I shouldn't mention it by name, reported that they had been served with a subpoena in the ongoing corruption investigation, and that the head of that group, Jay Doherty, he's the guy who brings in all these big name politicians. Mm-hmm. This is the place to see and be seen in Chicago politics.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That he had some questions to answer about it. Well, reporters, after Kwame Raoul, the attorney general, was speaking at that event, reporters tried to question Mr. Doherty about this because the subpoena also named Mike Madigan. Mr. Doherty attempted to run from reporters.
Oh, no. Not a good look.
So, pro tip. If you're ever trying to elude reporters and not answer their questions, have the elevator waiting.
Yeah.
Because our Mike Lowe, who is there, says that when Mr. Doherty reached his escape elevator, he pushed the button and the wait began. Not 1 minute, not 2 minutes, but 3 full minutes. Cameras rolling, questions being asked.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Yes, so we'll have that
Jay
for you.
Jay Doherty's been around a long time in this town.
A long time.
As you know, one of those guys who's sort of always on the periphery. He's not a guy you ever voted for, but he's on the periphery of politics.
Mm-hmm. And may have some knowledge about the role ComEd may have played in hiring folks for political reasons, et cetera.
Oh, yeah. Boy.
I heard that the rate situation that seemed sort of favorable to ComEd was put on hold this past summer while this whole thing was going on.
Yeah, and ComEd's very popular CEO abruptly stepped down.
Yeah.
So it looks like this thing is getting bigger. So we'll have an update on that.
ComEd doing a golf outing at Doral or anything? Do we know? Nothing?
Nothing planned at the moment.
All right. Yeah. Plus, we're updating the teachers' strike. Mayor Lori Lightfoot sent a letter to the union saying, hey, how about going back to work before we have a deal? Would that be cool?
Don't we get
union
the sense that they're getting
into it?
Bo, I think didn't we get a sense earlier in the day that they were getting closer?
So they are making some progress. The union says that the city has been able to put in writing a verbiage on some key issues, but apparently not enough. They tried to bring in Reverend Jesse Jackson again to broker talks.
And Joey the Clown Lombardo passed away.
Yeah. He did, 90 years old, over the weekend at a federal prison.
People who do not know who Joey the Clown Lombardo was, he was one of the leaders of the outfit here in Chicago, the Cosa Nostra, our thing, whatever you want to call it, the mob.
The family.
They were, he was, and, you know, and this was one of those towns that really only had kind of one family. There was some infighting within that family, but it was really one family in this town, the Accardo family, and then eventually Joey the Clown was able to then inherit that after Joe No-Nos DeFranzo, as we'll remember. Mm-hmm. I like a guy
you
with
gotta have a nickname.
Gotta have a nickname, right.
Doesn't work without it.
So Joey the Clown Lombardo, what do I make you laugh like a clown? So he, that as you might recall, he was under investigation then disappeared. They couldn't find him.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They couldn't find him for months upon months upon months. And it turned out he was living in his own neighborhood.
Yep, right there off Grand Avenue.
Yeah. That was, and it's a very interesting thing because no one had seen him. Anybody you asked on the street,
anybody,
he was riding his bike. He would literally every morning ride his bicycle
as a senior citizen.
Yes, to a coffee shop that no one ever saw him in that coffee shop.
Allegedly,
yes, they finally did grab him up and they finally did try him and they sentenced him to what ended up being life in prison. You know, he's involved.
And he served it.
Yes,
but he lived to 90. That's a nice long life for a mob figure.
We need a mob moniker for Roe. Roe the Mouth Con.
And Roe the Panicker. Roe the Warrior. I think we're going to go somewhere along those lines.
The Scaredy Cat. I don't think quite as sexy.
Not quite as fearsome.
Like,
although the nose, who would have thought that? And that guy was a deadly enforcer.
Yeah, exactly. No nose. Well, he kind of lost part of his nose. Thank you, Ben. We'll see you in the WGN News at 4, 5, 6, 9, and 10. Now the WGN Radio News. It's 3:30. Mike Monaco's in studio with us. That's what that music means right there. We play that for Mike Monaco. This is his new theme song.
I'm sure he loves
even
that.
Even though it's Night Court.
Did he approve that?
Yeah. No, he did. Did you not?
No, I haven't, but I'm happy to.
I would like to remind everybody that I have two chances to score Blackhawks tickets before we're out of here today.
Oh, good.
Great.
We got a pair after 4:30 and after 6 o'clock tonight. All brought to us by our dear friends at Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing for all the right reasons. Four Seasons. Find them online at FourSeasonsHeatingCooling.com. Tune in every Monday for your chance to win tickets, courtesy of them, and thank them. Think of them often. Think of them warmly.
Yeah, they'll be giving Bears tickets away soon.
Hey, easy. Going one at a time here. One at a time. Don't confuse the issue. This is a game against the Kings on Sunday. All right, so if you want to go to that, and that's a, you know, that Sunday is always, I love that Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a six pick drop on Sunday? Can you look that up for me?
They start earlier on Sunday, right?
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
6 o'clock.
Yeah, 6 o'clock. So you get to watch the Bears lose. At noon. That's a noon game, right, against the Chargers on Sunday?
Yep.
Oh, this is a good opportunity. I should really do this again. I should really do the 1-2 punch again next Sunday. Yeah. Go watch the Bears lose to the Chargers, who lose to everybody. Yeah.
Pull out your hair.
Right? And then I go to the United Center, and hopefully the...
The Bear game was really sad.
You know what the best part was?
Depressing.
When they kept showing those pictures of the Hancock and the Sears Tower peeking out above the clouds. When
that
Fox Sports did that, I was like, go back to that.
That was cool.
Let me see that again. That's much nicer than this game.
Yeah, that was cool.
Oh, boy. All right. Mr. Monaco, let's talk about a couple things. First of all, this opioid settlement in Ohio.
Yeah.
What does this mean for the rest of the country? What does this mean for families here in Illinois or in Indiana or in Wisconsin who are looking for help with this because they have been somehow affected by the opioid crisis, whether they've had people get addicted or tragically lose their lives?
So Illinois is sort of separate from the other states because Illinois just filed a lawsuit against the distributors who distributed the OxyContin, and they filed a lawsuit earlier against Purdue Pharma and the owners of Purdue Pharma, the Stackler family.
Right. But the patriarch of that just passed away, right, I think last week.
Right. But they've, I believe, agreed to sell to for a $12 billion settlement. I believe that's what's already happened. So mm-hmm. I'm assuming there's going to be money for a lot of folks who have had...
So, and that's a national settlement.
National settlement, yes. All right. Now, this was a...
Now, but do you have to be... would you have to have used OxyContin?
I think so. You have to prove that you...
Right,
you,
but there's other derivatives
or
of that.
Some, right. Some, OxyContin or a derivative of it.
Okay. Yeah. So Purdue Pharma would be on the line for almost any of that stuff.
Yes, sir. Okay.
But the settlement today is just two counties in Ohio, and it's $250 million.
Yeah, $260 million. And that was going to be the bellwether case. That was going to be the case that started the lawsuits to see how they worked out. And sometimes they'll do this in these class action cases. They'll try one case and right. see how it's going to go.
Right. But by settling, that screws up the trial decision, right?
There will be no trial. That's correct.
So that then, I hate to play lawyer here, Mike, because I know you're the lawyer, but let me just try this right here.
Go right ahead.
A settlement does not create precedent.
Yes, sort of. Not legal precedent, but precedent in this
right,
context.
Right, de facto precedent.
Yes, for
because
sure.
Because the other companies go, all right, I don't know. Yeah, they didn't want to fight it. Why would I fight
we're
it?
We're settling it, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
So the deal was struck at 1 a.m. They clearly didn't want to go to trial.
No, right.
It's going to start today.
That's always.
That's what I took from that.
Okay, let's stick around.
Yeah, listen.
Don't go home. Yeah. We're going to settle this case.
So when
we're going to figure. I've already written my opening statement, but I don't care. I'm not going to give it. You know what? I'll give it to you later. I'll give it to you over lunch.
And he kind of did.
Yes, but now I'm not going to give
it. So when I just ask how this works with the lawyers, because you know, we're not the lawyers. We're the principals. We're the people sit in the other room and wait for you to walk in the room and sit down and look grimly at me, which you've done a number of times.
Mike. Yeah, well, you've had many
there's been
reasons
for that.
Many reasons.
So the question is. Do you guys, as lawyers, do you guys sit around and you go, all right, listen, no one's leaving this room until we settle this thing. We don't tell the clients this, but this is what we're doing.
That is not normally the way it goes, but normally...
Have you been in a room like that, Mike?
I've been in several rooms like that.
Okay.
That we wanted to settle, but we don't say that.
Okay.
I mean, we just want to settle the goddamn case and get it over with. But here, the plaintiff's lawyers made a lot of money. Pardon expression.
Speaking of the money, when we hear of a settlement like this for two counties in Ohio, making people wonder what would happen in Cook County, what would happen in the state of Illinois, how will this, where's this money going to go, Mike Monaco?
That's a question. Well, it'll go to the plaintiffs. Now, I assume there's going to be a list of plaintiffs, and what happens is these plaintiffs' lawyers have to settle, and the states, if the states are involved, send out questionnaires to all the folks who have signed up for this, and it's when they took the drug, how much did they take, and what are their consequences of it, and what are their that sort of thing, and then they end up sending the money out. They may sometimes have a person who's that's assigned as a receiver or someone from that the court assigns,
like a law firm or something,
like a law firm or former judge to help settle them. Resolve the money and send it out.
And then they have to create a whole...
Like they did with 9/11.
Right, or with tobacco. They had to do it. There's a bureaucracy
Like we did with tobacco. Now, what's going to be close, what'll be interesting to see regarding the tobacco company is what the vaping companies are going to do.
Yeah.
That's going to be very interesting.
Because they're the next players.
They are the next players in the tobacco litigation. That's exactly
interesting
right.
thing about this one in Ohio also, not only the whole country will be looking at it to see what they did there, but that Walgreens was the last remaining defendant in this case and was not part of this settlement.
So they didn't go to trial, though.
No, they have not. Yeah. They set a new trial for them and split them out of this whole thing. But I guess I wonder, how is the pharmacy implicated in this? Don't they just fulfill doctor's orders?
Normally, I mean, that's exactly right. So what they claim in these suits is that the distributors, the Johnson & Johnson's and all the distributors who distribute the opioid
drug. Made by the pharma.
Made by Purdue Pharma.
Purdue Pharma
and then
distributed by these
all
other
these other companies. That's,
and then
that's
they go to, so it goes Purdue Pharma to Johnson & Johnson that distributes it, and Johnson & Johnson distributes it to Walgreens and CVS.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so just to keep it simple,
or the world. But the point is this: I don't know how they claim that the distributors they claim in this lawsuit that distributors put so many of these drugs in these areas, like in Chicago and New York and so forth, that it created, and they also did advertising about it,
right,
saying that it was not harmful.
And they have emails.
And they have terrible emails
in which the language being used by the salespeople. Mm-hmm. It's always the salespeople.
They always get in trouble.
Always the salespeople.
Because they're promising things sometimes that can't always be delivered.
Today they said these distributors flooded the state with hundreds of millions of opioids with little oversight, fueling the diversion of these drugs towards illegal and harmful uses, according to our Attorney General.
Kwame Arul,
according to him. I'm not sure how that does that. How does millions of drugs, if a doctor doesn't prescribe it, and I can see how it's illegal, I can see how that gets out, but if a doctor doesn't prescribe it, then it shouldn't go to the individuals.
Okay, let me throw something else at you here. Going back to the idea of the Juul being the next people up, the vaping, the company that makes the vape pens.
Yeah.
Do they look at the rest of these situations? Because I know you've been in cases. You were part of the BP case after the oil spill and all that.
Yeah, and I actually represented a vaping company in the Chicago settlement, because Chicago sued a bunch of the vaping companies, because Chicago had an 18-year Chicago changed the age from 18 to 21,
right,
when the state didn't. So, I mean, that was so a lot of companies were selling to Chicago, you know, over the internet, not knowing that Chicago changed the age from 18 to 21 in order to buy this stuff.
So if you're Juul or any of the other vaping companies, knowing what you know now,
this is a problem. This is a big problem.
Yeah, because your product can be used. Now they're going to make the argument, though, that most of the people that have gotten sick here that have used it were using black market cartridges,
right? Something other than what they sell in a store.
But then the other argument, though, is that by selling these products that had, you know, candy kind of flavors, they're going to go back
aimed at children,
right? Down that way as well. Because I'm telling you, it's fascinating when you're out now. You're out, you know, walking around the streets, which, you know, I don't do very often.
You don't do very often.
But when I do,
but occasionally, you're known to be doing it.
Yeah, or you know, you're in line at an event or whatever. You see these
vaping. Everybody's vaping.
And
people
young.
Walking up and down the street. Everybody's vaping.
I don't see old people doing it. I see young people doing it. I see people who are in their 20s,
but not children. I don't see children.
Well,
doing it.
I'm not.
No, but if you look at the
statistics
and who's ending up in the hospital beds, it is kids in their teens, 17, 18, 19.
That's too bad.
Well, that's because they're getting the illegal, you know, the stuff.
Yeah.
I don't.
What's going to happen in January when marijuana will be legal?
It's all going to be fine. Don't worry, Mike.
Yeah, no problem.
They got this all worked out.
You know, we've thought through everything.
Possibly go wrong.
I know. But so what? Every city gets to decide whether it's going to be legal in their city. I mean, it's sort of fun, isn't it?
So it's going to be weird.
Instead of Naperville, you have to go to Aurora to get it, and then you come back to Naperville.
Well, I think those guys are going to change. I think what they're going to see is they're going to see the fact that they're losing out. I mean, Naperville is, the third largest city in Illinois?
Yeah. After Chicago and Rockford.
Yeah, I think you got to be thoughtful, if you're Naperville, about, you know, where this is really going to go.
Yeah.
Because it isn't what people think it is.
You're not going to have a marijuana store out there, are you, Ro?
Not yet.
We don't know. It could be. It's just an entrepreneur.
He's into him, you know.
You're
Mike.
An entrepreneur. What the
I
heck?
Am. I don't know what I'm into yet.
Well, you had one visit to L.A., and I thought that was quite a positive experience.
Yes, L.A., really.
Yeah, with one little positive experience. Yeah. I don't want to ask you about something else that's happened here in the Chicago area, but, Mike, I want you to stand by for a second here.
Happy to do it.
Because you are a long time, you know, you've been on both sides of the courtroom. You've been on both desks of the courtroom. You were a prosecutor.
Yes.
You started as a prosecutor, federal prosecutor. You started as a federal prosecutor here in the Northern District of Illinois. Northern District of Illinois is one of the most, especially in your era that you were there, it was one of the hotbeds of after RICO started, of going out and getting these organized crime families.
And politicians and judges.
Right. Who were involved?
No other district in America was as aggressive as the Chicago federal court,
the Northern District of Illinois.
Office, yeah.
I have we're going to talk a little bit about whether or not you think the mob is still around, because it's because you got that with now with the death of Joy the Clown Lombardo, where does this go? Just your thoughts of watching this for the last number of decades, from it being a really important issue here to is it still? We'll find out about that on the other side. But first, let's check in with Lauren Lapko. What's happening on the roadways? The Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. News coming from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom after the top of the hour here.
Well, there is the most brilliant rainbow out our window here overlooking the lake from our offices at Columbus and Wacker. And it is stunning. I don't know if anyone's near the lake right now. You have to just look toward the lake and check it out.
We see the end of the rainbow here, by the way. We are at the end. We can see the bottom. You know, you never see the end of the rainbow.
Is that your house that it's under?
It is. Actually, do you know what that is? That is the Chicago Police Marine Unit.
Yeah.
That's where the pot of gold is.
That's a pot of gold. Oh. Yeah. For some people.
It works out well for some people. Thank
God you're here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is one of the coolest units in all of law enforcement. So it's right there. So it's landing on the little house there. And so what we have is now I know that there is no pot of gold. Get down, call down there and see if we got a pot of gold. All right.
Someone should go and check.
Yeah. I would like to ask you about this very quickly before we let you go,
sure.
Mr. Mike Monaco. The probably the last of the great mob figures, right? The guys with nicknames that became sort of household names in this town.
He was a notorious fellow.
Yeah. The Joey the Clown Lombardo,
yeah.
Who I've always found this interesting. He just sort of slipped away from the feds for a while.
Yeah.
And he was
hiding.
Yes, he was in hiding
Cicero,
for a number of months.
I'm not sure if Cicero or Melrose.
Let's just put it this way. He was near his home.
Uh-huh.
They found him near a home of his.
Uh-huh.
And he had been in it for weeks, if not months.
Yeah.
Without anybody finding out that he was there. And apparently he was taking his bike every day and from a coffee shop.
Welcome to Chicago.
Yeah.
it's not unusual.
Do we think, now, you know, back when you first started as a prosecutor in this town, obviously there were a number of cases, you know,
I had one with No-Nose DeFranzo.
Yes, Joe No-Nose DeFranzo.
No-Nose.
Yeah.
Who had a... Now he was the capo de capo for a while.
Yeah, I think that's true. I'm not exactly sure.
I shouldn't recall that was.
I remember the one time I had when I was a defense lawyer and I had to go to the federal courthouse and head of the FBI because they had one of my clients was
wrongfully accused.
No, he was locked up, and the fellow hijacked an airplane to free him. It was a Serbian priest, and my fellow hijacked the Nikola Kovaya hijacked an airplane to free him, and I'm in the FBI room with Tom Sullivan, who was the U.S. attorney at the time, and he goes, "These guys are not in the mob because they have the names of all the guys on the wall." And Tom was the U.S. attorney at the time. "These guys are not in the mob." Well, Tom, you would know. I suppose these people would know. But it's unlike other kinds of law enforcement. The folks in the FBI put the names of the people on the wall.
Yeah,
and they don't wait for them to commit a crime. They look for them.
Yes,
to see what crimes they may have committed. So that's the difference between investigating and the problem is now. I don't think so.
Powerful entity.
I don't think so because you don't hear of any cases. I don't hear of any cases.
Yeah, very rare.
I don't hear of any cases. You hear in New York every once in a while something happens.
Yeah, those families are still active.
Something is. Yeah, exactly. As you said, there were more families in New York, of course.
Right.
Yeah.
The five.
Yeah.
And then here was really just the one. And what is interesting, well, the one with, I mean, there were infighting within the one, right? It wasn't really, there weren't separately named families.
I don't think so.
It all came down from Capone through Ricardo way that it went.
Yeah, you're like a historian.
I know. Now, here's the issue, though.
Yeah.
They all went legit.
I know.
It's now, like the Corleone family.
Anybody can go buy marijuana. It's olive oil? No, it's not olive oil.
No, but
olive oil anymore.
They went into other businesses.
Yeah.
They went into businesses that were, you know, financial services and things like that that were properly trained for.
Yeah, that's true, I suppose.
All right. Well,
yeah, this is a tough question. I don't know of any stuff that's going on. It doesn't seem like there's anything going on, but
not like what it was. Because and that was the guy they also got in prison who ended up wearing a wire in prison that took his family out of Milan, Michigan.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was kind of the end of it right there.
Yeah, that was.
And that was all underneath the Joey the Clown Lombardo family, and that was
I think you're right, yeah.
Calabrese family.
Yeah.
So that was it.
So you're like a historian, right?
I know, a bit of a historian. Thank God Chicago is my, you know, I have nothing but love for this town. And you never know what's going to happen in this town. And you got to know what.
And I have nothing bad to say about any of those nice men.
I went to a lecture by Frank Calabrese Jr. once, and it was fascinating because he'd written a book about getting out of the mob.
Okay.
Good luck to him. All right, we wish everybody the best of luck. But first, we got the news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom in 2 minutes. It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Don't forget, coming up this hour, your chance to rip us off for a pair of Hawks tickets to see them take on the LA Kings on Sunday, courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. For all the right reasons, Four Seasons. Find them online at fourseasonsheatingcooling.com. Tune in every Monday for your chance to rip us off for tickets. Thanks to them. Thanks to they. All right, John Cass is joining us right now from the Chicago Tribune. We were talking to Mike Monaco a little bit about this. This is an interesting moment. I just want to go back through this. The Chicago mob, which used to be incredibly influential in business and in politics here.
And the police department.
Yeah, for the first half of the 20th century, for sure. And let's call it the middle third of the 20th century in Chicago. I think it's a better way.
Middle third and second third, yeah. Right.
So they were a big, 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 big play here, John. And now, probably the last of the initial line that you could follow a line from Al Capone all the way down to Joey the Clown Lombardo. You could follow it all the way through. And now Joey the Clown Lombardo dies in prison at the age of 90, was announced last night.
Without teeth.
Still a red nose. John, why would you say something like that, John Cass? Do you think that the Chicago outfit, as it's known, is done?
I don't know if it's done, but it's clearly not what it was. Clearly not. I mean, you know, a general is only good as his colonels. The colonels are like, I don't know, slapstick characters now. I don't know who the general is. Nobody wants to be the boss. And are there a few that are still out there that do what Rokan might call the wet work? You know, occasionally, I was out on Grand Avenue looking for a couple of guys today, and I couldn't find them. I guess they were grieving, you know.
they had to go pick up the body, probably.
You know, Anna knows. You know, she had that problem in Bridgeview that we had to deal with. Remember, Anna?
I remember that. So, it was that was 10 years ago, and it was another situation where the mob had their hands in government as well. And I think some of our texters have pointed that out. Our listeners are saying, you see the influences of mob, but some of them are moving into politics, it appears, to our listeners.
Oh, no.
At least.
What? Oh, no.
Well, that's what Lombardo said when he testified. He said, there's 50 bosses, 50 aldermen. And I couldn't help but laugh. I mean, part of that trial, the family secrets trial, was ridiculous. I remember, I think it was Tom Breen or maybe Martin, one of Jimmy Marcello's lawyers, put up a shamrock up on the screen next to Jimmy Marcello's name and said, he's half Irish. How can he be a mobster?
Right.
Made me laugh.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And that's the funny thing about this is that a lot of the way that Chicago operated is different than New York. A lot of the lore, the mafia lore comes from New York, and the rules in New York, the rules of engagement, the rules of who's in and who's out are a little different. But as the ranks have thinned out due to natural attrition, prison, death, and the desire of some of the people in that business did not want their kids to go further in the business because it's like that scene, because they all take this from the lore of The Godfather or some of the other, you know, whether it's Goodfellas, Godfather, stuff like that. You know,
well, they were trying to give you a nickname earlier, but you're sounding almost like Joey, what was his name? Johnny Ola. from Godfather 2. You know, one by one, our old friends are gone.
But
natural causes or not.
Natural. But that was the thing with him, I think. To live to the age of 90 as a mob figure and someone who was very involved for decades, starting out as a driver for senior mob guys and then moving up the ranks to be like the boss of the Grand Avenue street crew. I mean, a colorful life, known as to be sharp and brutal, ruthless. The clown is the name, I guess, he gets because he was good at making wisecracks, but he was not a clown.
He was kind of a clown. I mean, he cut out the, I remember there was one story, he cut out a newspaper, cut eye holes out of a newspaper and covered his face so he could walk, you know, and the reporters at the time, you know, like John Drummond and John O'Brien, they loved that stuff.
Yeah.
But he wasn't a clown when it comes, I don't know what's funny about a shotgun.
No, or murder. Know?
Right.
Murdering a person in front of his own child.
Or a car bomb. Right. I mean, these guys were ordering car bombs on families. And literally, a car was on an on-ramp on an expressway in the northwest suburbs, and it just went up.
It was actually it was outside some place called Kennessy's on the Ogden Avenue ramp, which is now, you know, right near my house. So, yeah, it happens.
Yeah.
You know, there's no way you can run... organized crime cannot run without politicians and law enforcement. It just doesn't happen. And for so many years, you know, you mentioned Roe, the beginning, you know, with Al Capone. I would suggest it's really Paul Rica. And from the moment Paul Rica came to Chicago to watch over Capone until he died in the 70s, there was only one boss of organized crime in the country. Which is probably, and his name was Paul Rica. That's probably why, you know, you never saw any movies made about him, right? It's always what's not the official story is the kind of the story. It's kind of a Sicilian Neapolitan thing. People understand that. And as long as he was alive, you know, he called the shots.
So he was the ultimate, you're arguing that he was the ultimate godfather who was giving a license to guys like Tony Accardo and John DeFranco. Actually, there would have been Accardo then at that point because he died in the 70s, and Accardo died in the 80s.
But as long as he was alive, they deferred to him.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he started a lot of, you know, he could call up a politician and say, hey, I got a nice place for an airport. Or he could, you know, maybe name it after an Irish war hero. Or he could.
Whose father was a mob, a lawyer.
Bookie, right.
Yeah.
Or he could say, you know, I think we should name Cermak Road after the guy that we had iced in front of Roosevelt so that Roosevelt would know we were serious. And they called it Cermak Road. And every day, when Paul Rica would have his driver take him from the Lexington Hotel all the way out to Cicero, he would laugh. He would look at the street signs and laugh. Yeah, but you can't do it without the police. And, you know, there's characters in the Lombardo story that I'll get to in my column once I sit down to write it that, you know, he had two guys. He had the most notorious killer, Frank the German Schweitz, Lombardo did, and he had the hero cop, Chief of Detectives William Hanhart. So he had both of them. And, you know, and he had the politics. Remember Jane Byrne when we were kids? Jane Byrne calls up Tony Spilotro to try to get him to, you know, have the outfit stop the gang killings. Yeah. So it's a long way from then.
It is a long way from then. But it is, I guess the real question is what happened to these folks along the way. Was it one of those situations where the families just decided to go legitimate? And they got so spread out, nobody wanted to go into that business anymore. Because there was money to be made without the danger of it, especially in the 80s, 90s, and, you know, into the 2000s.
It's called politics, right? You don't need to have a gun. In politics, you have a pen. But, I mean, we have politicians acting like gangsters now. They use the hammer of government, you know, to get people to do what they want. In those days, and there's a RICO investigation, as you know, Ro, right now, wide ranging, all over the suburbs, and you know, from Commonwealth Edison all the way, everything is getting rolled up into this RICO case. But as far as the the outfit goes, Joe Lombardo is a serious man, and there's still some outstanding unsolved murders that they never could pick. That's why I was on Grand Avenue looking for a little guy. There was Charles Miriam, the Standard Oil executive, who answered his door. He thought there were two police officers outside his door, but it turned out apparently they weren't police officers, or they were and they shot him, you know, to death. There's a lot. There's still out there stuff, and people are still, the FBI and other investigators are still trying to follow old cases.
So we should go back. I want to go back to that case, that Charles Miriam case, because that was at in the western suburbs, right? It was in Oak Brook or something like that where that happened?
Yeah, that's where he lived, but yeah. I think that he was in Indiana at the time.
So he goes
he was in the suburbs. You're right, bro.
Yeah, thank you.
He was in the suburbs.
So he goes and he answers his door. He gets gunned down, and the story had always been, the story that we were trying to chase in the aftermath of that, for years, was that he was the executive that was making the decision about who was getting the then Amoco
Standard
stations.
Oil. Right. Yeah.
The,
right.
And Amoco was the big brand here at the time, which is now BP, but then the Amoco brand, and there was a fight amongst some of, he was taking some stations away from some people and granting them to others. And
there's a lot going on, yeah.
That somehow intersected with other things that were going on in the Chicago Police Department and in some other people of the business community here in Chicago. And so there was a question, and there was always a sense of who it was, who was involved, and how he'd been protected.
Ro, why is it always a little guy? I don't know. Those little guys are scary. Do you have a second to let me tell you about Joe Lombardo?
Yeah, sure.
All right. So I go out to North to Grand Avenue with my then leg man. Then I had leg man. That's like, you know, you have producers, and I had a leg man, and his name was Liam Ford. Still is Liam Ford. And we went out to a restaurant on Grand Avenue, and there's Joe Lombardo at the other table. So I take out my pen, and he sees it, and I take out my notepad and kind of like almost wave it, because I want to, like, you know, I'm coming over there, you know, you don't want to scare,
alarm them,
to the wolf. Mm-hmm. And then he snaps his fingers, and in 10 seconds, all his food is in to-go bags, and he's gone. And I go up to the owner and a restaurant manager, and I said, "That was Joe Lombardo, wasn't it?" And the guy said, "Let me look through the receipts." No, it was Dr. Dr. Silverstein. Dr. Sheldon Silverstein or something like that.
Sheldon Silverstein, didn't he write The Giving Tree?
Yeah.
Well, he's like or Horowitz or something, but he had a medal around his neck. That I thought was a St. Christopher's medal, but really it was a St. Dismas medal for the good thief. Good thief next to Jesus. Yeah.
Let me. You said you were on Grand Avenue for that?
Yeah, we were at a restaurant.
Yeah, I'm going to text you the name of the restaurant, and I'm gonna, and then you just say yes or no.
Do you want me to do that now? Because it's not Les Garol.
No. John, don't guess. That would not be right.
I'm not guessing.
Well, as he's texting it to you, I'll just tell you one of my favorite observations on Grand Avenue to this day are the nondescript storefronts that you can't see in, have no name on them, but at weird hours, people come and go. And sometimes there are SUVs parked in front and people pop out, and sometimes...
why are they always black SUVs?
Exactly.
Anna?
Oh,
right. Can't we have like a pink SUV?
No, because it's
silver.
No.
Is that okay? No.
No.
It's not.
No. Sometimes they're white, but mostly black because it's like presidential. It's like executive.
Yes, that's the restaurant.
Thank you. Got it. All right. Thank you. Gotta go.
The column.
Thanks.
Yeah. All right. See ya.
Bye.
Bye, John.
John Cass, Chicago Tribune. Read it. I'm going to guess that column lands on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Because he's probably, tomorrow? Is he going to rant tomorrow?
I would hope tomorrow. We're ready for it.
Because the Tribune lawyer is going to take a look at that.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
That's my guess.
All right. I knew exactly where that was going.
I think I know, too. Can I text you while during the break?
Yeah, text me during the break. We'll figure it out. Hey, who's asking? Right now, let's ask Lauren Lapko what's happening on the roadways.
Middle schoolers want to change the name of Westside Park. The alderman said he was on board, so why hasn't anything happened in 2.5 years? Tonight on WGN-TV News at 9 o'clock.
That's a good question.
Great question.
I have my own thoughts about that as well. All right, we got news coming up from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom at the bottom of the hour. Mm-hmm. And right after the bottom of the hour, a pair of tickets to go see the Hawks on Sunday night, taking on the Kings. And we have two chances today. One at 4:30, after 4:35, 4:37, something like that. After that period of time. I'm going to guess it's in the 40s. But that's just me. Mm-hmm. I can't control these things.
No.
These are made by other, these are decisions well above my pay grade. And then after 6 o'clock tonight, too. Coming up, I don't think you're going to want to miss this. Mm-hmm. Ed Obradovich is going to be here.
Oh, boy. He's got a lot to say, I'm sure.
It's all I want to say.
So disappointing.
The Bears get, it says here on my little sheet that tells me what's coming up, Ed Obradovich discusses how the Bears got embarrassed by the Saints.
And they now spell embarrassed with a B-E-A-R in the middle. Because that's what we deserve.
Oh, God. What the? Oh, my God.
And OB hasn't had a chance to vent since the game, since we didn't have a post-game show yesterday due to Blackhawks hockey, so factor that into it.
Yeah. It's going to be something.
That's an excellent point. Yes, we're going to do some factoring here. Maybe a factor of, 10,000X?
Turn the radio down just slightly.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. Just the audio.
Just
you want to hear what he has to say, but you won't want to hear it as loud as Lee as he's going to say it.
Right, because your speakers might get broke.
You don't want that.
As we like to say, as Bears fans. Oh, God. Oh, God. It was the most dejecting thing. I mean, the boos.
That's the thing.
I was out there booing. They had to boo.
You were booing?
Oh,
you
were hell yes.
You were among the boos?
I was among the boo birds, yes.
The booers?
All right, we have got the news at 4:30. Here's Kim Gordon.
Like I said before, you got to believe you're close. All we can do is look within ourselves and see what we can do to get better, to make the guys around us better. You do your job the best you can, and it's never pointing fingers. I just continue to ask myself what I can do better, how I can make it easier on my other guys. You just got to believe that we're close. I still think we're close. All I know how to do is go back to work, find out what went wrong, and start with myself, and then go from there.
Oh, I can answer that question! I can answer the question!
What's your answer?
You! You and your lack of skill!
Mm-hmm.
Maybe running the ball might help, too.
Oh, my God.
17 yards, not enough.
Ed Obradovich is joining us on the Super Celebrity Hotline. OB, I sat there in that stadium yesterday, and the one play that really got me, and that's where the boos just started, and it just never stopped, was when he missed Anthony Miller, who was wide open. It was a total touchdown. No question about it. He gotten past three defenders. Not two defenders, three defenders. And he overthrows him by at least 4 feet over his head. And the crowd at that point, I think that was in the second quarter, the crowd just totally turned. And that was it. It was never coming back. It was awful. It is the worst performance I have seen since the early 1970s.
Well, Roll, I think... you're in for a few more. I made this statement when that draft came up basically a little over 3 years ago, and they passed on Deshaun Watson and Holmes, and they moved up from the third spot to the second spot, mm-hmm. Give away basically the entire draft to get this kid. You know, if I said to you, DeMarcus Williams, would you know who that is?
No.
Well, let me tell you who he is. He's the kid that Mitch Trubisky played behind for 2 years at North Carolina, and he just got drafted in the 10th round in the XFL. Mitch Trubisky played behind him. The only year he played was his last year, and he played in 13 games. And you have a general manager with a head coach with the mite in their brains and come and they figure out that Deshaun Watson won't make it in the league, Patrick Mahomes won't make it in the league, but we'll trade up from third to second to get a kid that's played 13 games and played behind a kid that I didn't even think got drafted in the NFL. You talk about aggravation. You know what, Dan, we were talking, and I said, the Lord works in mysterious ways. I'm glad we didn't have the post-game show, because if we did, we'd have been fired, we'd be off the air, we'd probably be in jail.
In jail. But that's the question a lot of fans are asking. Do you bench Mitch Trubisky at this point? What do you do, and how much is on him?
Well, it's all on him. It's all on, well, actually, who's it really on? It's on Nagy. I mean, come on. This is week after week after week. How in God's name can you be in the National Football League in year 2019 and your first six games and running and passing the ball in the first six games, you can't even get a combined total of 300 yards? The most he got was against the Redskins, 295, and it's gone downhill from there. Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers, almost passed for 500 yards yesterday. We can't even get running and passing at six different games. We can't even get 300 yards. You got to be kidding me.
It was pretty pathetic, Opie. I mean, they had 85 yards. The stats are actually misleading. They're not even good, and they're still misleading. That's how bad the offense was. They had 85 yards through three quarters yesterday, Opie. A total of 17 yards on the ground. How do they fix this running game? Because it's been atrocious.
Well, when Jordan Howard left, the running game went with it. They were talking about the running back from Iowa coming in or Iowa State, whichever one it was. And I don't think it makes any difference. And he hasn't made any impact at all. And what's again, more deflating and defeating is you got Tariq Cohen as our ace backfield. I mean, he's the main guy in the backfield. He's the guy that you bust up the middle between the guard and the tackle. You know, it's just nothing makes sense in what they're doing. And it falls right on Nagy's head. My God, you remember how many times do I tell you, move the ball down the field, the biggest down, third down, convert on third down, convert on third down, and score some touchdowns, put some points on the board. Yesterday, we were 2-for-12 in third down conversions. And our average run was, 2.4 yards? And we're supposed to win a football game?
What's wrong?
Guys, we're going nowhere.
All right, so we get that the offense was never going to be great. The question is the defense. What's happening there? They're not getting the penetration. Is it just all on Akeem Hicks? Obviously, you still have – listen, I'm not going to take anything away from Khalil Mack. He's still involved in every play. He's menacing or he's falling back. He's found a way to be, you know, somewhere. But you need more than him because it seems like Buster Skrine is making all the tackles because everybody's getting past everybody else. And Buster Skrine, they put him basically on the goal line of the other side, even if they're on the 20. And the guy will run 80 yards to make the stop. I mean, it's like it doesn't make any sense. Is the secondary falling apart? What's happening, Opie? What's happening?
Well, I'll tell you what. Just, you know, you talk about Akeem Hicks and what I said, and everybody's talking about Khalil Mack. He's the guy, he's the guy, he's the guy. And I think if you remember, you can go back last year and look it up somewhere in our conversations, folks, where if you don't have Akeem Hicks up that middle, just absolutely crushing that middle on passing plays, why is that important to have that done? So the quarterback cannot step up into the pocket, make a pass or escape underneath the tackles on a stronger, weak side. And Akeem Hicks was phenomenal, was more efficient than I've ever seen anybody do it. He just crushes it up in the middle. He's out of there. Guess what's going on? Guess what's going on? They can't make the plays.
Yeah, and you know, to the defense, the one reason I have it completely laid into them after that game, they weren't very good. There was almost zero pass rush. But you look at the time of possession, OB, the Saints had the ball for 37 minutes and 26 seconds. The Bears had it for 22 minutes and 34. That's what happens when you don't string first downs together. So I hear you on everything defense, but I mean, it all lays on the offense's shoulders, I think. It was just so bad.
Well, here, one of the astonishing things, and I'm using the word astonishing.
I love that word.
That came out of Nagy's mouth. Now, you got to listen to this, and I hope you listen to this, please, for listeners, because you're not going to believe this. You guys, hold on to your steering wheel in the cars, okay?
All right, here we go.
All right. Our great genius coach, Nagy, and he's talking about this team and Trubisky, and he talks about our team and what championship, and he says our team, and we can, what can we do right now to become a true champion contender? And part of what we need to do is show Mitch of the two plays, excuse me, show Mitch some of the plays Chase Daniel made the last two games. Conviction throws, shot plays, what touchdown to checkdowns mentally with the gusto to give our playmakers a chance to make plays. He couldn't wait to get Mitch in to show him films of Chase Daniels, how to act in a pocket and how to make the throws.
All right. So do you start Chase Daniel against the Chargers?
No, I'd start Trubisky, and I'll tell you what. And you give him until a half or close to the half. If he doesn't do it, you got to pull him. You can't keep going like this. Roe, this kid, I told you all a long time ago, you cannot coach, you cannot teach, you cannot pray to the good Lord about accuracy in an NFL quarterback. By this time, you either have it or you don't. This kid does not have it. My God, he bounces them in the receivers. They hit the ground and bounce, take one bounce into the receiver. He throws it 10 feet, 5 feet over their heads. This is week after week. This is last year, this year. I mean, come on. You're looking at reality. You're seeing what's going on. And they're trying to talk and make this kid that he's the savior of this team. I'll tell you what, if they keep playing Mitch Trubisky and this keeps going on from week to week, I'm going to tell you something. Pretty soon, all hell's going to break loose. Believe me.
Hold on
one second. It does feel like that.
Hold on. Ed, I got to put you on hold for just a second. Do you mind? All right. He doesn't mind. Make sure he's okay.
Yeah. Check on OB.
Yeah,
okay?
Well-being check. You know, we do send a nurse to his house during this segment just to make sure. She's got a blood pressure cuff on him at all times. Just checking. I have a pair of tickets to see the Blackhawks. There's at least more hope. I mean, the Blackhawks, you see some sparks there. That's the important thing. The record's not there yet, but you're seeing sparks. It's early in the season. The Bears, I see nothing. But that's a separate issue. And I don't have Bears tickets. I don't even know if I could give away Bears tickets right now in good conscience. I'll be honest. But I do have tickets to go see the Hawks take on the Kings on Sunday. Thanks to our friends at Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. For all the right reasons, Four Seasons. Find them online at fourseasonsheatingcooling.com and tune in again every Monday, all season long, to win a pair of tickets. We got another pair of tickets coming your way after 6 o'clock. If you don't get this, caller number 19, 312-981-7200. Caller number 19, 312-981-7200. Lauren Lapko, what's happening on the roads? We continue on with Ed Obradovich here. Ro Concha with Anna DeVolanta, 720 WGN. All right, OB, we've talked about the horror that was Halloween came early in Chicago.
Good point.
And now, again, at home on Sunday, on the lake at noon against the Chargers. Chargers are beat to death here. They are finding ways to lose. This is a perfectly matched what was glory last year turns into poop on a stick this year. What do the Bears have to do?
Oh, my God. Well, after they come out of church Sunday morning, I just they've got to pay attention to whatever the coaches are telling them on both sides of the ball. You know, no more mental mistakes, no more pass routes, running the wrong pass routes. And if Mitch Trubisky is having a problem, you got to pull him. You got to put Chase Daniel in. You have to do that. And by the way, you think the 52 other players on that football team, you know, I don't think they all have bad eyesight or bad hearing. You think they don't know what's going on? You think they don't see where those balls are being thrown game after game after game and trying to make this kid to be the best the great pick where they did. They picked him number one. They moved up to get him. They gave away everything and keep trying to make him something that he can or he never will be. And when he was drafted, I told Mark Carmen, I made the statement, and I told Mark, I said, we will never win a Super Bowl with this kid at quarterback, and I'll say it again today. We will never win a Super Bowl at quarterback with Mitch Trubisky there at quarterback.
There were guys in the stands yesterday. Everybody was like on their phone trying to call other NFL teams and make a deal. They're trying to get ahead of Ryan Pace. You know, Marcus Mariota. Everybody's trying to figure out, is there a team that's got a decent quarterback that's got no chance of, they need to rebuild? Can we give them one player and a draft pick next year? What can we do?
Well, the Bears fans booing at home. I mean, that's, you could hear it. Oh. And then from other people who were there, they said they were chanting Chase, Chase, like they wanted him to be put in the game.
Well, it's a short fuse too, because I think we were just talking about this off the air. There's been one good half for this offense all year, OB, and it came against a really bad Washington Redskins team. That's it. That is the one good offensive half for the Bears all season long. So I think everybody's fed up. I heard boos even after he overthrew Taylor Gabriel on 3rd and 5 on their first possession.
Yeah.
Well, probably in the fourth quarter, it was a mass exodus of fans leaving. And I can tell you that's the last thing that George McCaskey wanted to see. And what were there, just a few hundred people towards the end of the game in the stadium there? And I'm going to tell you, these coaching staff, they better come to a reality check here. You know, you're talking the greatest fans on this planet. I don't care what sport it is in Chicago. These people back every team up, and especially the Bears. And I'm going to tell you, you keep trying to shove this kid and whatever it is that you're trying to do with him to make him a Patrick Mahomes or a Deshaun Watson, it's never going to happen. And George McCaskey, George, you got a problem in front of you, my friend. I don't know what you're going to do about it, but I'll tell you what, all of a sudden, there's not going to be a button that Mitch Trubisky or Nagy can push for Mitch Trubisky to make him a quality quarterback in the NFL. Again, I'll say it again, you cannot coach accuracy. You have it or you don't. He does not have it, and he never will.
Does feel like things can really go sideways here for the Bears. Some people were saying that this is rock bottom of the Matt Nagy era, which isn't a very long one, but everything went pretty much according to plan last year outside what happened in the playoffs. But every game they were in it. This was the first game under Matt Nagy where they've lost by double digits, and you haven't really had this sort of anxiousness from Bears fan base. You've had nothing but excitement for the past year and a half or so. It does feel like a moment where, okay, you got to string 5 or 6 wins together or things can really tank.
Yeah.
Well, hey, Kevin, last year, you know, we all know it. I mean, Bears got every break in the book, every bounce of the ball, game after game after game, and we won 12 games. We won one game on offense last year, and that was against Tampa Bay. 11 games we won because of the great defense last year. And which brings to mind, when you go look at the 85 team, again, arguably probably the greatest team that was ever assembled. They never even got back to the Super Bowl to win it or lose it. The Bears, they had everything right in their lap against Philadelphia here last year. And they start out this year in training camp. What do they do in training camp? Nothing. And then all of a sudden, Nagy and his coaching staff are hurrying up, trying to shuffle, trying to get the offense going, figuring out what's the matter with the defense, what's going on here. You're not getting all the breaks. You didn't do anything in training camp. The league gives you 4 games to get ready for the 16-game season. Nagy, you did nothing. This falls right on your head, my friend.
Thank you, OB.
Thanks, OB.
You're the best.
Love hearing from you.
Yeah.
If it's not good news.
And he hangs up the phone. And the other difference there is that they got rid of the coordinator in both those situations. We got the news from Northwestern Medicine Newsroom coming your way in 2.
It's the top 5 on the Rokan Show.
5.
Let's go.
4, 3, 2, 1.
Now, it's the top 5 at 5 on the Rokan Show with Anna Taplantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Nice, Rokan Show with Anna DeBlanc.
Yes.
Top 5 at 5. Mm-hmm. The most anticipated moment of the day by me.
Always is.
And all of my thoughts that I have. I have lots of thoughts.
You do.
Checking in at
number five.
When is this going to be over? LeBron James is still in trouble. He's still taking heat for condemning the Houston Rockets general manager Daryl Morey for posting the pro-Hong Kong tweet. Remember that whole thing?
We do. How could you forget?
Classic sports and politics not mixing well.
That's exactly what Dennis Rodman said. The new ambassador to everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God for Dennis Rodman.
When he's not working for Potcoin.
I just want you to, want everybody's mind to flash back, I don't know, 10 years, 8 years, whatever it is, to Dennis Rodman on The Apprentice.
I remember it well.
Okay. Whatever year that was, I don't know what year that was, but whatever year it was, there's Dennis Rodman on the Apprentice. Guess what? Guess what? My lemonade stand didn't do so well. Guess what, boss? Mr. Trump. And then stop and think. If I had walked into your living room and said, that guy is going to be the president of the United States and that guy is going to be the ambassador to the Korean Peninsula, you'd laugh, you'd cry, you'd say, Ro, you need to go to the hospital.
But that's not right. Come on.
Anyway, I digress. So LeBron, it turns out, people were hoping that LeBron would go after China for attempting to quash free speech. But that didn't happen. So now, no less a wise sage than Charles Barkley has had to step in and come to his defense.
I thought everybody was really unfair to LeBron. Everybody does business in China. Why should LeBron not be able to protect his financial interests at the NBA and Nike? Everybody don't have to pick every battle to fight. LeBron is passionate about the things he wants to be passionate about. We don't get to tell him what we want him to talk about. We don't get free speech in China. You get free speech in the United States. You don't get to impart your values in other countries. It doesn't work like that. He has to look out for his business interests. First of all, he has three business interests. He has his, he has the NBA, and he has Nike. China's not going to be changed because LeBron James says something.
But this is, the young people in Hong Kong have been used to free speech. They've been used to democracy for 99 years under British rule. And now this oppressive regime is moving in, and that's what they are protesting about. They're transporting them to China to face charges and locking them up in prisons. They're telling them that you're only allowed to vote for certain people. These are our candidates that will allow you to vote from. I mean, things are changing over there. It's not that this is what they've always been used to.
True. But these guys have... That's the problem that we find ourselves in. Now, we've totally forgotten about whether or not we're going to get a trade deal done with China. All we know is that the tariffs got pulled off for a moment, is that like a cooling off period. That's the only thing we know. And we're waiting to see what actually transpires here, even though this has been, you know, it's a big campaign issue and it's been made into a bit of an economic issue. The market, all the market wants to do is see U.S. and China go back to some sort of a trade agreement. Even where we were before is better than the stuff that is being threatened on both sides. If you can get a better deal, even better. And I get that that's a negotiation. Things have to get bad before they get better. I understand that. I'm not, you know, naive about that. However, they don't seem to be moving. And I think that the marketplace just wants this to move forward, the American marketplace. In the meantime, the Chinese took over Hong Kong 20 years ago. 20 years ago. 20 years and 10 months ago.
1997,
yeah. Yeah, 22 years ago. This is... We knew this was going to happen there. As soon as the mainland Chinese government took over Hong Kong, which was a British territory up until that moment, on a 100-year lease, there was no... There really wasn't much hope that this wasn't going to occur. They were going to make it an incubator, as China was trying to make itself a mercantile economy versus a social, a communist economy. They were trying to use Hong Kong as a test to get into other markets. And it worked! Because look at Nike. Look at the NBA. There are 460 million people watching NBA games in China. So we have, I mean, this is our problem too.
It's just been difficult, I think, for some to watch the doublespeak, because if you're in the NBA and it is about the money, just say hi, that we have business interests there, and because of that, we're not going to speak about it. Instead, we're not really informed, or we don't really know, or that's not really them, or they always had this. I mean, those are the kinds of things that the number of players who have stood up for social justice and have done an amazing job at that, putting their hearts and their money toward fighting that cause and saying to stay silent is not an option. And then on this issue, they start saying it's not about the money. We just don't know. We're uninformed. We don't know. We don't know enough.
Okay, right. And that is insulting. Correct. I get that. The other side is that none of this is going to get changed. None of this is going to get changed in this negotiation with China. This is not. They're keeping Hong Kong free is not on the table for the United States.
So we go after the money.
Right. Everybody's right. Going after the money. That's right. What it
now
is.
Number four.
All right. Speaking of that, as Miley Cyrus herself sang in the past, everybody makes mistakes. Now the singer is trying to take responsibility for one of her most recent mistakes. Last night, she hosted an Instagram live stream with her new flame, Cody Simpson. I think they make a cute couple. I don't know about the rest of you people.
Who's Cody Simpson?
I don't know. But I've just seen her with him. She's in this, you know, now that she's sort of on the loose.
Mm-hmm.
She's on the loose.
I thought she was dating a girl.
For a very short period of time.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's last week, Lauren.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
She kind of moved along. She decided she was going to go, you know, kind of go get over someone. She was going to get under somebody else. And so she had a whole wide group of people for the first couple of weeks. And now she's sort of, I watch this with great intensity and interest. And now she's with Cody Simpson. But this didn't go so well last night.
Okay.
Especially in the LGBTQ community.
I was just being like, I don't know, hardcore feminist vibes and just like, I don't know, not allowing anyone in. But now I am. There are good men out there, guys. Don't give up. You don't have to be gay. There are good people with d*** out there. You just got to find them. You got to find a d*** that's not a d***, you know what I mean?
You don't have to be gay.
I know. I always thought I had to be gay because I just thought like all guys were evil, but it's not true. There are good people out there that just happen to have d***. I've only ever met one.
Oh, God. So girls are gay because they can't find a good man? Is that the message?
Implying that you choose. You don't choose to be gay.
That's right.
Can I ask you, does it sound like she has a voice box now? Like she's got one of those like smoker kind of things where she's talking through her trach tube?
It's getting deeper and deeper.
Yeah. Okay, that's right. I don't know. I feel sort of... I like when I watch all the stupid stuff that she does, but then when she starts trying to make sense, forget about it!
Okay.
All right. So she's got some apologizing to do. I see a return to the Ellen DeGeneres show in the next couple
perfect.
Of days.
If you were her agent, you would suggest that. You would tell her, this is what you got to do.
Booby Dolan, sweetheart, listen, we're going to go on Ellen. You're going to clean this whole thing up. Mm-hmm. You're not going to make another mistake like this, Booby Dolan, sweetheart. Do you understand? Because really, we are costing ourselves money. Worse than LeBron James.
Apologize to Portia, too, while you're there.
I thought Portia come out and sit next to her.
And say,
like,
guys,
and glare
you.
At her. Yeah. All right. How about that? What do you mean, choose? All right. Lauren Lapka's got the WGN traffic. What's happening? Top 5 of 5 continues. We've worked our way to...
Number 3.
Welcome back to the NFL, Cody Parkey.
Off the post. It's a doink. Doink king.
Tennessee Titans game last night. Yesterday, it was his first kick. And how is it possible?
I don't know.
Even
that's hard to do.
You can't do it.
You can't do that. And he did it again.
You get what you pay for.
Is that a dome? Just out of curiosity, does anybody know if they played in a dome environment or was?
Tennessee is not a dome. I don't know. Were they on the road or were they? Where were they?
Yeah, they were. But I don't think that was his first kick, though. I thought he made one from 45 and then made an extra point.
Okay.
Either way,
the story tells better that it was his first kick.
Kevin, stop with the facts, okay?
Sorry.
This is Tennessee.
This is 2019.
Against the Bears' next opponent.
Remember when we thought that our biggest problem going into the season was a kicker issue?
Oh, my
God.
Remember that?
Those are the good old days.
Oh, my God. I was watching
Eddie
Pinheiro.
We get a great kicker, and he's amazing.
I was watching Eddie Pinheiro warm up last night?
Yes.
Or yesterday, whatever the hell it was. And
who knows?
I had been drinking Slivo with you know, General Thurbit.
The Serbian drink.
But Croatian in that particular case.
Sorry,
be careful.
Very upset about that.
Yeah, they really were.
Apologies to the whole family.
I just want to say that he was, you know, off the you know, with the little fake holder thing, that little stick that they use. Mm-hmm. He was hitting them. He was hitting them from you know, over 50 consistently right down the middle. So
he's 11 for 11 extra points.
Is he still hurting?
9 for 10. Likewise?
I seemed to be okay yesterday. I don't know. All right, here we go.
Number two.
Mitchell's hurting. Our quarterback spoke to reporters after the loss.
I mean, just the type of guys we have, we're always going to practice our ass off and put in the work. And why it's not translating, I don't know. You make the plays in practice. And it just comes down to inches within the game. If those inches go your way, then we're making plays and we're rolling. But right now they're not, and we're sputtering out on offense, and we have no momentum.
We're not
in sync.
You are! It's not inches! He's overthrowing guys by 5 feet!
There's no one slouching off. There's no one being lazy in practice. There's no one being lazy or not caring. These guys care, and that's why these losses hurt so bad, because we put so much hard work and effort and time into this during the week. So that's why it's tough. But
okay, all right, then stop it. Stop. Okay. I can't. No. I cannot listen to another minute.
I just don't. What is he supposed to say, though? Come on.
If I were a dad, this is like a Lifetime movie or one of those like movies of the week.
Like Hallmark before Lori Loughlin messed it up for everybody.
I'd pull, you know, little Mitchell Trubisky, who didn't make the varsity team, and I'd sit on the front porch with him, and I'd say, Mitch, this just isn't your sport. This just isn't for you. You know, you gave it, you know, you're chock full of integrity, and you gave it your all, but this just isn't for you, youngster. Let's try basketball.
No, I don't think basketball is a sport.
Number one.
As if it doesn't get worse than this. Stephen A. trolling the Chicago Bears their decision to pass on both Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson.
When Mitchell Trubisky is talked about, what do they talk about him now? More so than ever, they're talking about him psychologically, because he was sensitive, because they booed him on draft night, and he went to a Chicago Bulls game, and they didn't give him any love then. If you haven't seen the damn evidence, that means it doesn't exist. That means you can't do it. I mean, it ain't that complicated.
The fact is, it's three years.
I mean, when you look at Mahomes, when you look at Watson, where's your internal pride? Where's the whatever it's called inside of you that says, wait a minute, I got some skills too. Let me bring what I can bring to the table. This is not something he has been inclined to do. Maybe it's because he's incapable of doing it.
So much trolling on Twitter last night too. I can't really even tell you how many different accounts brought that up. Like the whole Mahomes thing and everything.
Oh, was one of them okay, Ron K?
One was like an NFL retweet account and like just everyone.
Was Mitt Romney's fake, Pierre DeConte or whatever it was?
What a name he came up with.
Yes. Was he one of the guys trolling him?
Pierre Romney?
It's highly likely. I mean, everybody has to be trolling. It's bad!
Pierre, we really have nothing to say back.
Yeah. All right.
They were even trolling Tariq Cohen for being short.
Here's what I have to say back.
The top five at five.
Concho with Anna DeVrantis, and we've got royalty in the studio.
Yes, we do.
With us, Joe Mantegna is here.
Hi, Joe.
He is one of the greatest products of Chicago ever. I mean, a lot of people like to think of deep dish pizza. I don't think of that.
And an Italian beef. I think I come in maybe third at the best.
Yes,
that's huge.
You have a place in L.A., don't you?
We did. For 15 years, my wife's place called Taste Chicago. But after 15 years, the restaurant business, it's a tough business. And she said, you know what? I'm done. We've served our last deep dish, our last Italian beef, and it was fine. We had a great run.
You guys used to all of our expats who were living out in L.A.
There was a lot of them.
Once a year party, right, with all the guys.
And then when the Cubs would come to L.A., Ricketts would actually have us cater at Dodger Stadium he'd throw a party for all the Cub fans, you know, Chicago expat Cub fans.
Yeah,
and it was great. So we'd be eating deep dish and you know,
Dreesen always first to arrive, last to leave.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, right. Yeah.
I know chatting this, everybody yeah, up the
I know
whole time.
How, exactly how this goes. Hey, do you know? I don't know if you know this. He's from Harvey. I don't know if you know that.
And he
used to open for Sinatra. I had no idea.
Who knew?
He's a great
who knew?
Guy.
I just mentioned it. All right, you are involved in a really, really, really cool project. If you love comedy and you love just sort of the history of American entertainment, there is probably no larger looming legend than that of Lenny Bruce. There just isn't in terms of comedy. Everybody who came after him, whether it was Carlin or Pryor or, you know, to today's great comics, and there are so many great comics, they all owe a debt of gratitude to Lenny Bruce, because Lenny Bruce was a guy who opened up all of the ability for comics not to just be insult comics or, you know, just the Henny Young. Nothing against Henny Young. He was very successful and very great at what he did, but in terms of social commentary, in terms of changing the way that people think and they relate to comedy and to one human being on a stage and a microphone, there's no greater influence than Lenny Bruce. And you've decided to mount, you're producing and directing, right, a one-man show. And we have actually the actor who's doing the one-man show with you sitting next to you. I'll let you do the introduction and explain the whole process here, Ronnie Marmo. But what brought you to the Lenny Bruce?
Well, you know, it was Ronnie that did it. I mean, I was as you say, I was very familiar with Lenny Bruce, with his impact on comedy. I'm old enough to, though I never saw him perform in person. You know, I saw him on film, and I heard my brother's old enough that he.
You knew his influence.
I definitely knew his influence, and then I'd worked with Ronnie in California with his theater group, and had directed a little something for him, and also did a movie that he had written. And when he came to me with this project and said, I could see that he had just devoted an incredible amount of time in writing this piece, and just delving into it and making it his own. And he came to me and said, I'm really interested in perhaps if you're up for it to direct this piece that I've come up with on Lenny Bruce. And as soon as he said Lenny Bruce, just like what you said in your intro there, that name caught my ear to like say, okay, well, let's see what you got. And just to cut to the chase is when I told him, I said, let's see what you got. He showed me what he had. And I said, you know what? As I'm a believer of, if it ain't on the page, it ain't on the stage. It was on the page.
Oh.
So I said, let's put it on the stage.
Huge compliment.
So yeah. I think he got it. I mean, and I did Lenny, the play Lenny that was written by Julian Barry, that they made the movie out of,
right,
with Dustin Hoffman. I did that here in Chicago at the 11th Street Theater. I understudied the lead of Lenny back in 1972. So I was familiar on that level, too, and been around it. And Julian, even back then, would play me tapes. He played me the last tape Lenny made before he died, even. And mm-hmm. so I had like some insight into aspects of Lenny that the normal person wouldn't have even had. But when I saw what the work Ronnie had put into it and his portrayal of it, I thought, this hasn't been done yet. This is taking it up another notch, so...
What
That's
a
why I got involved.
High wire act, though, Ronnie.
I mean,
this is it's almost an impossibility now. And you, not only obviously the movie Lenny that everybody remembers, Dustin Hoffman, what has he done since? But there's you've got that performance, which I think was Oscar nominated, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, a bunch of Oscars.
Yeah,
in fact.
And then you go from that to, you know, there's sort of a resurgence here of interest in Lenny Bruce. Even The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, right?
Yes.
That the Amazon Prime series. They have a character that obviously is directly drawn from Lenny Bruce, that it showing the impact that he had on New York comedy at that moment, stand-up comedy. What made you interested in doing this? Because obviously you're a younger man. You're not, you know, you never saw him live.
No, I was born after he had passed. You know, I did this other play called Lenny Bruce is Back and Boy Is He Pissed. And it was funny. Yeah, it was funny. And I did it about a dozen years ago. And long story short, it came to me. It was a one-man show. I did it. I loved it. I ran for 6 months. But as I learned more about Lenny Bruce, because I knew Carlin and Pryor, but I didn't know much about Lenny. Mm-hmm. I knew his name. Kind of knew his influence. And then once I started to research this guy, I fell in love with him. And then what I realized by doing that play was that we weren't doing any of his bits. It was a very safe version of Lenny Bruce. And once I fell in love with the guy, I realized that I was kind of disrespecting him by not telling the whole story. And so I asked the playwright, may I please put in the bits and we can move the script down? He said, no, my play's written. So I said, okay. So I went off for 5 years and wrote this play. And that's what happened.
And you needed the estate to okay this, right?
Oh yeah, Kitty Bruce and I are very close. she gave me the best compliment. She said it's the best portrayal of her father she's ever seen.
Oh,
and
wow.
And we're like, she's like my best friend, my sister, my daughter. You know what I mean? We have this crazy friendship, and she's really supported us through all this. I talk to her 10 times a day, and it's really special.
So it's some of his original material.
Yes.
And then some storytelling that you're writing. What else is happening?
There's most of it's, I'd say 90% of it's based on articles I've read or things, and I kind of obviously created a story around it. But I'd say probably a good, 25% of the play are things you won't find on Google, things that I found through Kitty, going through the boxes in the attic, as it were. And so there's, if you're a Lenny Bruce fan, you will find out a lot of stuff that you don't know. And
that's talking about high wire. That's now the Willis Tower high wire.
I agree.
I just said Willis Tower. Can you believe that? Seriously.
Yeah, I don't even know what the Willis
what
Tower
are you
is.
Talking
right
about?
In front of Joe Montaigne. I said Willis Tower.
There is no
God.
Willis Tower.
I know. What am I, an idiot? Anyway, so, I mean, that's really something, because it's a very specific thing. I mean, the Lenny Bruce fans, there's a lot of people in comedy who obviously have studied him and, are gigantic fans. But, over the years, I think since the 1970s, since he passed away and since the movie and stuff, it really has waned until this moment. And it's kind of ridiculous, but The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, which is a great television show, has kind of brought back interest.
Well,
in
it sold a lot of tickets for us, and I'm grateful. I'm grateful. I mean, they don't give Luke Kirby enough to do on the show. As a Lenny Bruce fan, I want him to get to do more.
Yeah.
But that's okay. The show's not about him. But I have to tell you, when I first started out, I didn't try to imitate Lenny, because that's a horrible idea. I just listened to everything I could. I read everything, and then I threw it all away and just tried to capture his spirit. And as a result, I guess I sound and act just like him, but I really didn't try, because I don't do imitations.
You're smoking on stage?
No, I don't. We don't smoke. I don't smoke in the play. But as...
do you think if he were alive today, he'd vape? That's a question.
Sure.
What would you do?
I know, Joe, you're the director.
I don't think Lenny would vape.
Okay. All right, okay. Check it.
My real review was, when Jack Burns, Burns and Schreiber, Burns and Carlin, Joanne Worley, Pat Harrington, when they came to the first production, they would watch a show and they would be crying and they'd say, "My friend Lenny, I miss Lenny." And so that's when I knew I was onto something. It wasn't like the actual reviews. Not that I don't respect them, of course I want nice reviews, but it was those people that said, "I miss my friend, you brought my friend back."
His friend
Frankie Ray Pirelli, his best friend, would come to every single performance and sit in the front row, 6 month run, every single performance, and he would just cry and cry. And
well, when I sat with Kitty Bruce, Lenny's daughter, when Ronnie did the play we're doing now, and I just sat next to her, when she saw it for the first time, she's holding my hand, and boy, she would be squeezing my hand at certain moments, and I kept thinking, I really, because in a way we're a little worried. How is she going to react to this? Because she wasn't a big fan of a lot of the portrayals of her father.
I'm sure.
And things that had been written and said about him and whatever. But she's been, as Ronnie said, she's become such our greatest supporter. And that, for me, was the final confirmation of, like, it's Kitty gets it. What more can you ask?
Right.
For?
What more can you ask?
How do you play somebody's dad? It's like,
and for her to tell you that.
Right. And she's a character in it. I don't know what mother's a character in essence.
As a director, did you make a change then based on her reaction?
No, not at all. We didn't change anything based on that. And the thing is, it's funny. I sometimes I think about that. I know the play well enough to be able to say, if someone has a problem with it, I have an argument, I would think, to combat that.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, or an explanation.
Yeah.
I think at a certain point, it's almost like what the playwright said to Ronnie about, like, I can't change it because I've written my play. And I think that's how I feel about this. I think there's a justification for everything that's in there and for whatever we've done. And I mean, and there are aspects of this play that's very controversial. I mean, there's things that are going to offend some people, whether it's visually, verbally.
We're content. So easily offended.
I know, and that's the problem. We're more offended now than we were 30 years ago. I mean, we're going backwards. It's very weird.
If you would find me naked offensive, then you'll be offended in the first second of the play. That's how I start the show.
Well, he lives, speaking of what's in it, he lives such a tormented life. I think that's fair to say, right? Would you say so?
Yes.
And how much of that early life do you get into, and then how much is on the comedy and his success and that kind of thing?
We take you on the whole ride. We start the play, lights up, and I'm literally dead naked on the toilet. And
oh!
Literally Utterly. And then the play doesn't let up.
That was an addition I made.
Yeah, Joe, that was Joe's idea. He wanted to see my
I started my career doing hair here in Chicago, 1969. I was naked on stage. I figured at least he could do.
Yeah, Joe's like, what are you, Kim? Show your ass. I'm like, Joe, come on. So literally, I
Joe would never say that.
No, he didn't care. He was like, what do you care? But anyway, you know, it's that's how I start the play. And we kind of start at the end and we take you back in time. And we go through all of it. We do all of it. And the play doesn't let up. It's very funny at times. It's heartbreaking. It's tragic. It's crazy. It's it's frustrating.
Yeah.
Sometimes people talk to me
as
on
you
stage.
Say his like his life was. It's very profane. Very moving. Very informative. All kinds of things.
You know. And the title of this is "I'm not a comedian. I'm Lenny Bruce." It's so perfect because Lenny Bruce is really not a comedian. Right. Lenny Bruce was a performance artist who changed the way that people view an individual on stage. That was it. Beginning, middle, and end.
I love your interpretation. I've never heard it said that way, and I think you're right. That's really smart. Social critic. He was everything. He was so much.
Yeah. I mean, he made people laugh, right? He made people laugh, but we're laughing at ourselves, which, again, back to Joe's point, we don't do that anymore.
No.
We don't have any sense of fallibility anymore. And
he
it's
was
crazy.
Smart, and he was funny, but he was very smart. All his bits, even the ones that seemed to be silly, by the end you go, wow, that's a
and Chicago's very prominent in this play. In other words, because he ran into a few problems.
Mr. Kelly's, right?
Yeah, and Mr. Kelly's, and also he got arrested here a few times.
Yeah.
And that this comes out in our
yeah, we talk about it pretty early on. I do a bit called Christ and Moses that I just put into the play 2 weeks ago, actually. We're constantly working on it.
That's his.
Yeah, it's his. It's a famous bit and that he got in trouble for here. And I do Christ and Moses. And then we go into this big N-word bit, which I'm sure you know about, his infamous N-word. I do it like 7 minutes into the show.
Wow. No, people but you see, that's the point. And we're not challenging people's real identity, you know, because it's about soul. I think with the one thing about Lenny Bruce, he lived and he died on his soul. And sometimes it was twisted,
right,
and clearly
right.
the drugs addled yeah. him, and it eventually killed him, and his own, you know, for lack of a better term, mishigas in his head that he couldn't ever quite figure out. And but there were moments of just like almost electric, like lightning truth.
Oh, yeah. Well, the thing like the N-word bit, the thing is, you see the bit and then you realize he was such a supporter of civil rights, and that he was, and that's the whole point of the bit.
Yes.
So, in other words, Dick Gregory's son has become a big supporter of our play, and he's just yesterday he sent this beautiful text to Ronnie about knowing that we were going to be opening here in Chicago because he saw the play and loved it, and how he kept saying how his father would have been such a supporter of what Ronnie's doing.
And Dick Gregory's hometown.
Yeah, and I mean, and Dick Gregory's just
Chicago. Yeah.
You know, he was just so brilliant, and. So what Lenny, you know, what Lenny's been able to do, like just even in that bit, is to kind of put something out there and right in people's faces that initially it's almost shocking, but then you take it all in and you realize it's
well, good for you. I mean, this is I couldn't be happier that you're doing this. I couldn't be happier that you're keeping this alive, because people need to know this, because you're Joe Mantegna. You're totally right. We are moving backwards here in terms of how we perceive ourselves, and on all sides of this argument, right? People are just so sensitive, and there's the cancel culture and all of that, and that's why I love what Chappelle just did. As crazy and as controversial as that has become, it's about drawing that line, about saying, I can say things, but this is my comedy. This is what
I'm
saying.
Did you see the headline in the Chicago Tribune? It said, David, which a week before we got here, Chappelle is getting in trouble for the same things that got Lenny Bruce arrested. That is a paraphrase, but that's what the headline was. So I was like, clearly people are still talking about Lenny.
I'm not a comedian. I'm Lenny Bruce. Opens on Wednesday night. And this is a great place to go see a show. I think first of all, before I give you the final details here, a portion of the proceeds goes to the Lenny Bruce Memorial Foundation. That's a very important point here.
Yes, it is.
That's a foundation that provides help, insurance, and ability to get treatment for drug and alcohol addiction.
Yes. Right, I'm very proud of that. I'm on the board, and it's really important.
All right. So if you want tickets, it's Group Ticks at 773-327-3778. It's the Royal George where this is playing on Halsted Street, right across from, you know, right there in that theater row. North Avenue and Halsted, essentially, is where this is going to be. Or LennyBruceOnStage.com is a place to go. Get the tickets as well.
Awesome.
Gentlemen, thank you so much
for
being here.
Thank you for having us.
Joe Mantegna, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, guys.
Right now, Lauren Lapka, traffic. Let us talk about Chicago Blackhawks for just a second here before we talk to Sweet Lou Kanellis about the Chicago Bears.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know. I have a thought. I'm sorry that I've taken up most of the show today with my angst about the Bears, but there's only so much I can take as a Chicagoan.
You think you've reached it?
But before we do that, I would like to say that right now, to call number 19 at 312-981-7200, I got a pair of tickets to go see the Hawks take on the Kings on Sunday night. That's a 6 o'clock puck. Is that right? Did we have that
That's
right?
a 6 o'clocker.
6 o'clock puck on Sunday night. So if you want to do what I mistakenly and, you know, horrifyingly did yesterday, you want to go to the Bears game before seeing the Hawks, you can do that. And then you make it. You got it in time. It's I do like that as
a
doubleheader.
I might do that next Sunday.
That is a doubleheader. It's a very good doubleheader. However, here's the problem, if I could just say.
There's a problem?
There's a problem. The Bears suck! Mm-hmm. But that's a separate issue. We're going to get back to that in a second. Right now, I have great hope for my beloved Chicago Blackhawks. Kirby Doc made his debut last night. He's 18 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to buy him a beer afterwards. It was like, and
just testing.
Speaking of buying a beer for a guy, uh-oh. I just want to say that our kid, so all grown up now. Connor Murphy.
Oh, Connor Murphy. Did you run into him?
No. He ran into some guy's face with his fist, though, last night, which was good. There was a really good hockey fight at the end of that game last night. And, of course, Shaw was in the middle of it. And then Connor Murphy got in. And Connor Murphy, Connor Murphy's like the nicest guy in the world. He's like this, you know, like redhead, like. He looks like a very gentle ginger.
He does. What
he looks like, right?
He acts that way. He's so polite.
He mean mugged a guy last night, right on camera.
Connor Murphy,
the inside, you know, up on that big screen now that they've got.
Oh,
it was good. Oh, it was so good.
You've got him hyped, bro.
I know. I think you know what he's. You know, I've been in his ear after every game, telling him things he should do, making a little adjustment here and there,
breaking down tape with him.
Caller number 19 312-981-7200 rips us off for these tickets. Brought to us by our very, very good friends at Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. For all the right reasons, Four Seasons. Find them online at FourSeasonsHeatingCooling.com. And tune in every Monday for your chance, all season long, to win a pair of tickets to see the Hawks take on somebody. All right. There you go.
Very specific.
Yeah, it was very good. Very, very happy.
Good luck.
Yeah, I liked Connor. It was really funny. It was a great, you know, that was the thing. There was such, Capitals really kind of had the Hawks number. Mm-hmm. Through most of the game yesterday. And there was just a moment where you see there's a lot of passion. That's the one thing I'm liking that I'm seeing this season. They're still trying to figure out how to get that. They're trying to learn this system and get the speed up to what the system needs. This the offensive defense, it's swarming. It's speed to the puck is the whole idea behind what the Hawks, what Jeremy Calton wants to do here. And they're still having trouble coordinating where they are all on the ice. And that's what I've seen. Once that comes together, look out, because they got all the right talent. I could say that nicely about the Hawks. I will not say that about the Chicago Bears. Lou Kanellis is joining us right now. Sweet Lou, remember what I said to you? I said if they lose to the Green Bay Packers on week one here at home, 100th anniversary, I said they're going to go 8-8. Remember? I said they're either going to go 11-5 or 8-8.
Yeah, and 8-8 might be generous right now.
I would say so. What in the hell has happened, Sweet Lou Kanellis?
That question was asked to Matt Nagy today, and he goes, listen, I'm not an idiot. The question was asked, why did you run the football only 7 times? Don't you need to run the football to win in this league? But he did. I mean, it's unbelievable. I threw a number out there during the newscast. Since 1960 in the NFL, 10 times a team has run the football 7 times or fewer in a game, and they're 0-10, lost every single game. I'm at a loss for words. All I can think of is that Matt Nagy has no confidence, absolutely zero confidence in his run game. And when it's 1st and 10 and they run the football for a yard or two, he says, forget about it. I got to throw the football. Because if you can't run the football in this league, you are not going to win. So if your coach doesn't believe in his own running game, they're not going to win. And that's where the Bears are at this point. And defensively, it's affecting the defense, because when the offense is on the football field for only a third of the game and your defense is trying to play two-thirds of the game, it just ain't going to work.
So do you see Matt Nagy benching Trubisky at some point?
Well, I'm, you know, the key to what you just said, Anna, was at some point. Yeah. Do I see him benching him next week against the Chargers? No chance. Listen, as soon as they make that move and they decide that they're better off with a 33-year-old journeyman backup quarterback instead of the number two pick in the draft, that is as bold a statement against Trubisky, against Matt Nagy, who failed in developing a talent, against Ryan Pace, who sold off draft picks to pick Mitchell Trubisky second. That is a bold move, and I don't think they make a bold move until they absolutely feel that the season's gone.
Yeah, I was saying this earlier with OB, Lou, that this feels like a breaking point where things can really go sideways here for the Bears, or they can respond like they did last year when they were 3-3 and won five in a row. I'm also at a loss for words because I just don't know what they can do. Because you think of, you know, people, of course, Bears fans are throwing out trade ideas and get this player and get this player. But you look at the roster, and obviously outside of Trubisky, they have the personnel. I think that's what's driving everybody nuts here is leading up to the season, the reason we were so excited about this team defensively and offensively was how much talent is on the roster. I just don't know where they go from here. Has Matt Nagy's message been lost with the locker room? I don't even know. We're searching for answers here, and it doesn't sound like any of them have them either.
You know what, Kevin? We thought they had the talent.
Yeah, maybe we're wrong.
But if we really think about the way the season wrapped up last season.
Oh, this is something bad's going to happen here. Go ahead.
I'm always the eternal optimist. I'm Peter Positive. Mm-hmm. So I think that they'll turn this thing around. I really do. But if you look back to the way they played offensively last season, okay, the last 10 games of last season, they were averaging, I want to say, 17, only 18 points a game. So we started to see the warts offensively last season. Now, the easy guy to point the finger at was Jordan Howard. Howard's not doing the job. He's not running the football. He doesn't fit in Matt Nagy's offense. We need to make a move. So they traded away to Howard, and they drafted David Montgomery. David Montgomery had two carries yesterday. This is a guy that we had great hope.
Was he hurt? Why did he only have two carries yesterday? I was wondering that.
But he's not calling the plays. That's on Matt Nagy. The thing about David Montgomery is I still think he has a ton of talent. We just haven't had a chance to see it because even when he does get the ball, the offensive line's really not doing anything. And then he gets the ball twice. He fumbled once. And then that's it. Then he goes away. So we haven't even had a chance to give David Montgomery an opportunity to make plays.
We haven't had a chance to give David Montgomery to make plays. How about Mike Davis? They spend $3 million a season. I believe it's a two-year, $6 million deal. He hasn't even he's not even getting on the field. So they have completely, 100%, well, they've abandoned the run game. They ran the football seven times, and they fumbled on two of the seven carries.
Yeah. After they put up the Peyton statue, you know, it's sort of like,
oh, no.
If you could just
don't connect
stop.
It to that.
Well, no, what I want to do, I want to take Matt Nagy out to the stadium tomorrow with my new best friend, Eddie Pinheiro, Eddie Money. That's my favorite player of all times now.
We don't have to worry about kicking anymore.
That was our big concern going into the season.
I want to take Matt Nagy. I want to do this thing. It's almost like Field of Dreams, or It's a Wonderful Life, or something. I don't know. Maybe, you know, maybe Matt Nagy, I can find Matt Nagy on that bridge over Lakeshore Drive that everyone walks over to get to Soldier Field, like sitting there staring down at Lakeshore Drive, and I can come up and put my arm around him and go, I just want you to imagine what life would be like. It's a reverse. I want you to just imagine what life would be like if you had, and I take him to the Walter Payton statue, and I show him that, I show him some of the highlight reels. Maybe JP comes out and meets me out there and gives him the pep talk, goes, you got to run the ball in the NFC North. You got to do it in the NFL, but you got to do it in the NFC North. That's what this is built on. You got to do this. This is a kid who's basically the same size as Walter Payton, this David Montgomery, and he's got the same kind of heart. He's got, you know, he will not stop. He doesn't let his legs stop. He wants to make things. He wants to hit people before they hit him. I'm not saying he's Payton. I'm just saying I need something here, people. Work with me. So let's get that notion in his head and get him all pumped up and send him out there and just run the ball. You know, call your first 30 plays and have 20 of them be runs.
I actually thought Jim Miller and I did Fox Kickoff Sunday yesterday, and he predicted that of the first 15 scripted plays, and the first 15 plays are scripted, he said that 10 of them would be runs. I said, dude, they didn't run 10 times the whole day. And Miller sent me a text this afternoon. He goes, do you realize when the Bears went up 10-9 on the field goal, Matt Nagy then called 9 straight passes? Mm. Now, when you're typically, when you're up in a game, you start running the football.
At home.
Play action pass. Right?
And you already felt the game trending in the sort of direction that it was going to be kind of an ugly, grinded-out type victory, which is those types of games you need to control the ball, control the clock, and run the ball.
And in yesterday's case, you had a kid coming back off an injury. He hadn't played in a couple of games. So you would think you would put him on the spot slowly. Today, what do we hear? Well, we didn't like his footwork. Listen, I mean, I'm tired of hearing that we don't like his footwork, because the truth is, if Mitchell Trubisky still has poor footwork in year three, then he's not grasping the offense. All right, he's got happy feet back there. He's throwing off his back foot. That's not a good sign. And if he can't throw the football, I mean, do I need to remind you guys of the days of Craig Krenzel and Jonathan
yeah.
Quinn? You run the football when you had the guys like that. I'm not saying Mitch is that bad, but if he's not going to come out and play well because it's his first game back, and call it what you want, rust, call it whatever, doesn't know the offense, at least give yourself a chance and run the football. And guys, here's where it becomes an issue. Give the guys on defense a chance. Imagine how they feel. We're upset. How about the guys on D that have been pulling their weight all year long and now have been run over in two consecutive games because the offense isn't helping them out?
I want to ask you about that, Lou, because this starts to become a bigger problem than it even is at some point. And Nagy referenced that in the, I think it was one of the press availabilities, because he said his advice to the team is put your horse blinders and earmuffs on, because I'm not going to let that media negativity tune everything out, because that's going to turn us negative. We need to be positive. At some point, he's got to keep this locker room together. He's got to keep, you know, the defense from not blaming the offense for everything, and you know, just self-destruction.
Well, I think easier said than done in the days of social media. So yeah, you can blow out the media. Yeah, I mean, you don't have to listen to us, but your friends are going to still send you a text asking you how you're doing, and I know it was a tough loss, and you're going to jump on Twitter or Instagram and see what's going on and see what people are saying. So I can appreciate what he says. And listen, I'm not bailing on Matt Nagy. This guy won the NFL Coach of the Year award last year, so I'm not going to bail on him after 6 games. I believe in my heart that he's got what it takes to turn things around, that everyone's going to face adversity. He's faced it throughout his career. And he'll turn this ship around. But is it a concern of mine that, yeah, is it a concern that suddenly it starts to tear apart the locker room? No, I don't think it'll tear apart the Bears locker room. I think there's too many veterans who have been through issues like this in the past, so they understand that there's no value in finger pointing. But I do think he needs to respect guys like Khalil Mack and Danny Trevathan and Prince Amukamara, who are out there busting their ass, who had been in wars before, and Amukamara's played on a Super Bowl champion in New York with the Giants. He's got to give these guys the best chance to win. And that's if it means sitting Mitch at some point, 2 or 3 games down the line, because things haven't changed, then I believe Matt Nagy will do it.
Just going to throw a couple names out at you.
Uh-oh. Ryan Tannehill, please stop.
Nope. I'm just going to name some other guys that were supposed to be the guy who weren't the guy. Gary Huff. Vince Evans. Jim Harbaugh. Well, he actually was kind of the guy for a while. Steve Walsh. Eric Kramer. Oh. Dave Craig.
Oh, gee.
Rick Meyer.
Oh, my.
Moses Moreno. Steve Stenstrom. Shane Matthews. Cade McCown. Chris Chandler. Wow. Anybody remember Chris Chandler?
They signed him after he spent like 20 years with the Falcons.
Cordell Stewart.
Yep.
Rex is our quarterback. I kind of like Kyle Orton.
Rexy.
I'm going to let him go.
Don't upset Lauren and not mention Kyle Orton.
Yeah.
Oh, right. I good old like, neck beard. Boiler yeah. up. Great facial hair. You're right.
Yep. I like Kyle Orton. He went on to have a better career without the Bears. You start to wonder.
Mm-hmm. He was never good.
You start to wonder what it takes. It was what? Oh, come on! In Denver? Come on!
Really?
Anyway, the point is, we're going to argue about that. See, this is like you know what? Where everybody gets mad at each other now. It's like the modern era.
Quarterback talking, yeah. Chicago.
All right. Okay. I just want to say that this is bad, and it's although 1 week from today, the Bears will be 4-3. And we'll be, well, maybe they can still make the playoffs. That's just going to happen. All right, Luke. Thank you very much, sweet Luke Canella.
Thanks, Luke.
I hope I put a smile on your face, bro.
Oh, sure. You can see him tonight on Fox 32.
See you, Luke.
All right, Lou. Let's check in with Lauren Lapko. What's going on the roads?
All lanes on the Bishop Ford are back open after an earlier overturned tanker near 130th. Traffic is still solid outbound until 115th. It's a little more than an hour to I-80-94. And inbound traffic is solid from Stony Island. As for the inbound Dan Ryan, the two right lanes are still blocked at 83rd for cleanup and investigation into an earlier fatal accident. And this report is sponsored, A Lost Dog, Not a Lost Cause. Read Catching Murphy, the latest book from the Associated Press, available now exclusively at Amazon.com. For personalized traffic on demand, at the Traffic's Chicago app. Approved by the mortgage experts of Team Hochberg. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. I'm Lauren Lapka from the IDOT Traffic Center, reminding you to drive responsibly. It really is a matter of life or death.
We had so much fun giving away Blackhawks tickets. You know what? Why don't we do it again? Just after 9 o'clock with brand new defensemen. Still got that new defenseman smell. Ollie Mata joins me live.
Chicago's very own WGN.
Steve Cochran Show, tomorrow morning on 720 WGN.
Vacation voucher and maximum tax deduction.
1-877 cars for kids. CARS cars for kids. 1-877 cars for kids. Donate your car today.
Also accepting boats, motorcycles, RVs, and real estate donations.
When she was running for mayor, Lori Lightfoot promised to do more for our kids and our schools. But her campaign promises don't mean a thing unless she tells Chicago Public Schools to make good on them. Like fully staffing schools with nurses, librarians, and counselors. Creating safe and welcoming learning environments. And lowering class size at every grade level. Other cities across America have made it happen. Let's do it here in Chicago. We have the funding. The state gave us an additional $1 billion for public education. And we have the support. A recent Chicago Sun-Times poll says that parents and the public back teachers by a wide margin. Now we need the mayor to put her campaign promises into writing. We're the Chicago Teachers Union, and we want a contract that's about justice, equity, and fairness for our schools, our kids, and our communities. Working together, we can build a better, stronger Chicago for all. Paid for by the Chicago Teachers Union.
Liberty Mutual Insurance Company presents... Doug.
Yoto, my office, now!
Limo Imu, Doug, you're being transferred across town.
Oh, because they haven't heard that Liberty Mutual customizes your car insurance, so you only pay for what you need.
No, it's because Limu keeps eating the chips on Janine's desk. And her keyboard, and her expense reports, and her stress balls, and her...
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Only pay for what you need at libertymutual.com.
Neiman Marcus has released their holiday fantasy gift guide for 2019.
We'll tell you all the fun things that you can't afford at 11:05.
It's us, Bill and Wendy, tomorrow morning at 10.
WGN.
Get real in the morning with Larry Potash, Robin Baumgarten, Paul Conrad, and the entire WGN-TV morning news team. It's all weekdays, 4 a.m. to 10 a.m. on WGN-TV. Check it out.
Sydney Friedman is going to join us. He is a ton of fun. He's a mentalist. He's a magician. He freaks everybody out when he's here.
He does.
He's gonna take your phone calls. We're gonna do magic on the telephone.
It's hard to do.
I know. Now Sydney says he's gonna do it because Sydney was here a couple of weeks ago and he did tricks for tricks, illusions. I don't know. Whatever Sydney calls it.
You tried to mess with Lauren.
Yeah. Yeah. Which then...
then he realized it's really hard to mess with Lauren.
Yes. Lauren is like... She has a... Like, her mind is like steel reinforced. If Trump could build the wall mm-hmm. out of whatever Lauren's skull's made out of, mm-hmm. we there would be no problems.
Don't tell him.
That's the other thing. Whatever happened to the wall? Anyway, separate issue. Don't get me started. So that was kind of a thing. And then Lauren did that thing where she threw, you know, like where her eyes were daggers, like Adam. and Sydney went running out of the studio crying. But he's going to take your phone calls at 312-981-7200. And we're going to see if we can make magic happen on the radio. Which is what they tell me to go do every day. I don't know if that's, I don't know if they really mean it. Now this is the way I'm going to do it.
You took it literally.
I am going to take it literally and do that. Mm-hmm. That's what's coming up next. But first, we've got to check in with Kim Gordon. She's got the news. It's 6:30. Sydney Friedman is here. He's a mentalist, or he's just mental. I'm not 110%
maybe
sure.
Maybe a little both. Yeah. Sydney, would you say so?
Well, I'll say this. Joe Mantegna was my opening act today, so that's how big I am.
Oh. Huge.
That is true. You were sitting in the seat that Joe Mantegna was sitting in just an hour ago, and I think that's... And listen, I'd take it if I were me,
seriously.
If I were you, if I were anybody in this business. All right. And our friend Sydney Friedman is a mentalist he's a musical magician, right? Is it?
Well, I do something in my show where people think of songs.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And then I sense what they are, and I play them on the piano.
So you're a musical mentalist.
The musical mentalist.
Musical mentalist.
Yeah. Just, and this is not really magic. Magic is more of a sleight of hand. This is more, I guess, sleight of mind.
Yes, that's what you're doing.
Mind-bending type things you've had. And I thank you. You guys have had me on many times, so I really appreciate you having me back.
Well, you're a ton of fun. Now, on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of this weekend, this is Davenport's Cabaret Room, 1383 North Milwaukee.
That's
right
it.
There in the Westtown neighborhood. And then, for your 21st year in a row, you are going to be doing a Halloween show there as well.
Well, this is the Mind Shiver show. It's the 21st year that I'm doing this series of shows.
Because everyone wants to be freaked out around
21 years. Longest running Halloween show in Chicago.
Ooh.
All right, so we're going to try some of your mentality here.
Yeah.
On our own Lauren Lapka.
Yes.
And then we will go to the phones. We're going to try this on the phones. We're going to try to do mental magic on the phones at 312-981-7200 if you would like to take part
sure.
in that.
Yeah, so Lauren, we did something last time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was successful.
You were?
Yep.
You were?
And we'll try it again. And in the interest of time, I had Lauren go off on her own and draw a picture.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked all the way away from you, had my back turned, walked way away, and I told you you could draw anything, right?
Yes. And what we know about Lauren is she is not going to lie and go along with this just because you're asking her to. No.
Right.
So we're confident on that.
And I want to say this, too.
Yeah.
If you would like to take part in this, if Sydney doesn't get it right, you get a $25 Lou Malnati's gift card. Okay, Lauren, you'll be the first one to get a $25 Lumonize gift card if this doesn't work out. 312-981-7200.
All of these things are tests, and they're not 100%, but we'll see what happens.
Okay.
Anyway, but I told you could draw anything you like, and then afterward I told you to put it in a couple of envelopes. You sealed it twice, two envelopes, right? And you've been holding on to that?
I have.
And you haven't told anybody what you drew? Not me, of course.
I don't trust these people.
All right, so if you drew an object, imagine you're holding it in your hand right now, in your mind.
Okay.
Imagine you're holding the object. If it's a great big object, imagine you're reaching out and getting tactile with it. If it's something in nature, imagine you're walking among it. If it's some kind of an animal or something. In fact, they sense something that has life to it, some kind of an animal, something that's kind of childlike, something that you may have been interested in when you were a little kid.
Okay.
Sensing something like that. In fact, I'm going to start drawing.
Not the Komodo dragon. Are you thinking of my bearded dragon pet?
Oh, bearded.
Komodo dragon would be a really dangerous pet.
Yes, right. If you don't like your toes.
Something growing out of the ground, a little bit of a tree of some sort, and I'm sensing. Would you start opening your envelope? Just start opening them. Don't show me what it is, though. Don't show me what it is. Don't show me anything about it. But I'm getting some kind of a dinosaur.
Oh, God. Uh-oh.
And I'm going to show this.
What? That doesn't sound like me.
I see it. Sydney, that dinosaur has a... Oh, my God. Sydney! Oh, that's a leg.
That's a leg.
Is it pregnant?
Oh, God. Yeah. All right. And let's take a look at this. Let's see what Lauren did. I'm going to find out right now if it looks like a... Oh my God. It's the same thing.
Oh, my gosh. Freak me out. That is... wow.
How did you do that?
So I don't know. You got a sun, and I put a volcano next to my dinosaur.
But there's a dinosaur, there's a tree, and then you're the only slight difference is that you have like a little mountain in the back, and you've got a sun.
Yeah,
oh my
that's
gosh,
pretty,
that is
he
so
even got
freaky.
The fact that it's a brontosaurus. Well, I think your attempt at a brontosaurus. Correct.
It is
all right. Okay, so let me just explain this. He gave Lauren a piece of paper.
Freak me out.
To draw her image on whatever it was. You did this dinosaur.
Yep.
And because
Lauren
she's
is good,
eight.
Look at this.
And
look
she
at the tree. It's
so
a palm tree too.
We and so she does this and she puts it in an envelope and then Sydney did that exactly the same way.
Did you share that with anyone? Like,
no.
Did you tell Kev on the side or something?
No, of course. I don't trust you guys. So,
and Kev would be the first one to go.
Yeah, Kev would come right in.
Hey,
Sydney.
I sat on the couch, my back against the wall. He was halfway down in the green room from me. So he's like in the middle of the room. I'm all the way on the side where no one could be standing behind me. And I drew this.
And where's the envelope been? With you the whole time?
Yeah, and I
so
sealed
weird.
It up. He didn't even touch the envelopes. I touched everything.
Is that his envelope?
Yes, but there,
you can't see through
like
it.
A red. In here.
All right, but what is it? Does he
we
have
want a full investigation?
Is there some sort of is there an insect in there or something that's conspiring?
A video
with him?
Camera, yeah. Like a little little one of those.
Let's take
drop
it to,
cams.
Let's take it to another level. Let's do it with callers.
All right. Okay. Oh,
not we won't draw pictures. We'll do something a little different.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Here we go. It's very good. That's very good. Thank you, Sydney.
Yeah.
It's very good. All right, Lisa. Are you prepared to have your mind blown?
Lisa, hi.
I am prepared.
All right. Nice to meet you. Lisa, this is what I want you to do. And this is immensely more difficult because you're not in the room where I can pick up certain signals. You're somewhere out there in Radioland. Anywhere probably across the country as far as WGN signal travel. So anywhere. what I want you to do right now is to think of someone in your life, someone who's important to you. Okay? And think about them right now. And I'm going to start drawing down things as you're thinking about them. Someone who's important to you. And think of their age. And their name and different features of their... I put this pencil down. I'm just going to leave this pad right here. Tell me, what's the name of the person you were thinking of? What's the name?
The name of the...
Yeah.
It's... Ivan, I-V-A-N.
I-V-A-N. And then how old is Ivan?
51.
51. And what does Ivan have brown hair?
Sandy
brown, okay, this is what I had written. I wrote an I, 52. Mm-hmm. I got very close within one, and brown.
Okay.
Oh I for Ivan,
mm-hmm.
52.
That's, wow.
Okay.
All
right. One year.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
There's nobody has a first I. And there's the Ira and Ivan.
Yeah, it's very unusual. I'd go like R or D, right?
Yeah.
If you're going to guess. I.
Yeah.
All right.
Fantastic.
Now, Lisa, because he did not say Ivan and he missed it by a year, you get a $25 gift certificate to Lou Malnati.
Why not?
You in for that?
Oh, my gosh. Right. I am in for that.
All right. There you go. That's, you know, that's a way. That's a way to do it.
Everybody's happy.
All right. Hold on one second.
Can you get three callers on? Just one caller.
No,
just
no,
one.
Just do
one.
Why are you producing the show? Do I come to your shows and tell you what to do? I don't. All right. Hold on a second here. All right. Let's do it. All right. Bob. You're on WGN. Are you ready to have your mind blown, Bob? Sydney Friedman is here.
Yes, sir. Please tell Mr. Friedman, I just saw a gentleman a month ago in Vegas. I think he said they based the show, the medalist on him, Jerry somebody.
Oh, Jerry McCambridge.
Yeah, I saw him. Yeah, he's pretty good.
He's very good.
Yeah, very
good. Very good. I'm better. No, he's great.
He learned everything from you.
Don't ever bring up another comedian or a magician to a comedian or a magician.
No,
don't ever do that.
He's a fan.
Yeah. Right. Anyway.
Here we go.
All right, we're
going
to do something with you and with the three people with Ro, Anna, and Lauren.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got four envelopes that I'm holding in my hand just to describe. Each of them has a gold seal.
Uh-huh.
And this is what I want you to do. I'm going to just listen to me right now. I'm going to say these numbers and just listen very closely. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, choose one of those. Choose one of those.
We're going to go 4.
Number 4. Okay, I'm very glad that you did choose number 4. Let me pull it out of here. and we're going to put it right in the middle of the table, number four, okay?
All right, there's number four in the middle of the table.
Envelope
okay?
number four.
Lauren, you get a better view of this. Make sure that...
All right.
Keep your eyes on it.
All eyes on
it. Ro, you can't choose four, but you can choose one, two, or three. Number three. You get number three, okay?
All right, all right.
Three, and I'm going to hand it over to you if you can reach it.
So a sealed envelope with a nice little gold seal on it.
Don't open it just yet.
You can't see
Anna, would you do the same thing?
I'll do the...
One or two?
One, please.
Number one, because you are.
Yeah.
All right, very good.
And remind people of. Thank you.
Now this has a number on it. This is number three. So this was
number two goes to
Lauren.
Okay.
Okay. So I've got the one. Lauren's got
the
two.
We're going to leave number four, which our caller chose. We're going to leave that right in the middle.
All
of the
right, Bob. You're number four. I feel good about this, Bob.
Good.
Open yours, Ro. Open yours.
I'm going to
open what he didn't choose.
Okay. I'm going to open what he didn't choose right now. Hold on. It's a printed green piece of paper.
And these happen to be what he's going to open here are things that you don't want.
Tickets to another Bears loss will be chosen by Ro. All right. Okay.
Right. That's what you don't want to choose.
That's what I don't want.
And it does say we're chosen by Ro, right?
Yes.
And you did choose that.
I did,
right.
Yes.
Anna, what
I've
is...
I've got envelope number one.
This is another one that you don't
also
really want.
Also a green piece of paper that says you don't want tickets for a sailboat ride on Lake Michigan in January.
Right. You
and
don't
you
want
said
it.
We'll be chosen by Anna. What? That is crazy.
Okay. And then Lauren, open yours. She's very slow to open her envelope.
I know.
I'm very suspicious.
You know, how many Oscars she's open for?
A speeding ticket.
Yeah, that's another kind of thing. These are tickets to all kinds of things you don't want, and it does have your name on it, right?
Weird.
And then this is the one that was chosen by our caller.
Yes, number four. You're
and it does
that.
Say two tickets to mentalist Sydney Friedman's Mind Shiver show, and it does say will be chosen by the caller.
Oh, well, it does.
It totally does.
Yes. How about that?
What? You're going.
Wonderful. Yeah, was there a tell that gave me away?
It wasn't that. I was trying to influence you to take number four. So if you heard me say the numbers over and over again.
He planted it in your mind.
Yes, he did. He made you do that. Well, and here's the thing,
get
Bob.
Get his information so we can get him the tickets.
Because the tickets to a show they're excellent, but they're not Illuminati's pizza. I'm giving you one, too.
Oh,
all right.
There you go. Nice. You get
you're
it all.
Wonderful. Thank you.
All right, hold
thank
on.
You.
All right,
awesome.
Here we go. That's very, I don't know. Sydney, you freak me out.
I know, it totally freaks me out every time you come.
I just tried picking off my name. It's definitely printed on there.
Right. I know. It's like, how did he know that?
Wait. All right, hold on. All right, Jane. Jane, are you ready, Jane? Oh, wait, hold on.
Jane,
hold on.
Hello, Jane.
Hold on. Here's Jane. Right now. Jane, are you there?
She's there. I'm here, yes.
All right. Are you ready to have your mind blown by Sydney Friedman?
Yes, I am.
Are you ready for a Lou Malnati's pizza?
Of course. I want to go with Debbie Malnati. Yes, I'm ready.
Are you ready to perhaps win tickets to see him at Davenport's Cabaret Room at 1383 North Milwaukee Avenue this weekend or on Halloween?
Yes.
Okay. All right, here we go.
Here we are.
I'm totally freaked out.
Okay.
You sound very calm.
Jane.
For once.
Jane.
Yeah?
Listen.
Yeah.
Just listen.
Okay.
Keep listening. Keep listening.
I'm listening.
Ooh, that's great. Okay, hold on. I'm going to write something down.
What was great?
I don't know.
I have something written on a pad here.
He's got something written on a pad.
Call out any number between 1 and 50. Any number between 1 and 50.
33.
Did that just pop in your head?
Yes.
It did. Look what I have written.
What has he got, Lauren?
That is a 33.
That is a 33.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. This thing is also on the web. I mean, people can watch this, you know, like on camera if they want to. So this is provable, what he just did.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I believe it.
Don't you don't you think she should get tickets now?
That she
absolutely.
Does. Just tickets. For being freaked out
by her. Get her information.
Two tickets to see Sydney Friedman play, and then, of course...
Mind Shiver Show.
And let's send a $25 Lou Malnati's gift certificate. All right, Jane, hold on one second. I don't know. I started watching this, like, really creepy show last night.
Mm-hmm.
It was that Haunted Hill, House on Haunted Hill. It's a redo of the thing from the 60s and then the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And they made it into a series, and it's all about, like mental imagery and all kinds of crazy stuff.
That stuff freaks me out more than just straight out horror.
And now, Sydney Friedman's freaking me out. Sydney Friedman I'm battling my demons.
He looks so proud of that. Right. He's very proud. He's like, he lit up. He's like,
yeah.
I'm freaking you out.
I freaked out.
You have to understand. I spent like 3 or 4 hours getting myself in this
mental, into a zone.
Into a zone.
Yeah, he's in a
just
zone.
Like any athlete would do for
sure.
A
your zone right here.
We know.
And then
when it works, work out for broadcast. Great.
It doesn't always work.
No, so. It doesn't. Are you ready to do the traffic for the last report of the day? Or do you want
yeah,
to intuit it?
Yeah, you know, the report is planted in my mind by Sydney, but I think I still have control of my mind to give it myself.
All right, so. Here we go. Here's the spooky traffic with Lauren Lapka.
Spooky traffic.
All right, we're back with mentalist Sydney Friedman. I must mention about Sydney that he is going to be performing his mentality at the, let's see, I got her here. Don't worry about it, Sydney. I got you taken care of. Davenport's Cabaret Room, 1383 North Milwaukee Avenue in Chicago this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And then Thursday, October 31st at 7:30. If people want to find you on social media, where do they find you?
Well, SydneyFriedman.com for tickets, or just you can look me up on Facebook or Instagram. Instagram is the musical mentalist on Instagram.
All right, yeah. There we go. All right, now, Ron, we've been giving away Lou Malnati's gift certificates to people who try to stump Sydney, and no one has been able to do it. So now, Lou Malnati is going to go out of business because of what I just did. All right, Ron, here you go. Here's your trick. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Right, hey, Ron, I'm going to hand a sealed little piece of cardboard to. Row. Don't look at it
I'm
just
not
yet.
Look at it. All right.
All right. And we'll do this with you, Ron, and Anna. Anna, mm-hmm. You're going to be first, and then
okay.
Ron, you'll be second.
All right.
I've written something down on the back of this pad here, and I don't want to show you just yet because I'm going to ask you a question. Answer quickly as you can. Don't think about it. And Ron, too, you had to just answer quickly. All righty. Mm-hmm. So, Anna, give me any number between 1 and 100, Anna.
17.
17. And Ron, mm-hmm. give me any number between 1 and 100.
97.
97. Ooh. Oh my gosh. Okay. I wrote down 95. Is that can you guys see that?
Yeah. Well, that gets you the $25 gift certificate right there.
No, it doesn't. Ro, I had handed you something.
He's not done yet.
I had handed you something.
Okay.
Would you open that up, please?
All right. Hold on. I got to open this up.
I wrote 95. Ron said 97. And Ron, you were the second person I asked to give a number.
Okay.
Open that up, Ron.
All right. I predict the second person will be closest to the target number. They will be off by 2 exactly.
Wow.
That's crazy.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm taking away your pizza now. That's what I'm doing.
Well,
no, give him a pizza.
All right, I'll give you a pizza. And you know what? You want 2 tickets to go see Sydney Friedman? We're going to send you there, too.
All right, great.
All right, hold
awesome.
On. Hold on. All right, that's it.
You're too freaked out now.
I was watching that show last night, and it's like driving me nuts. And I wake up, you know.
What are you trying to do? You watch the Bears, and then you get freaked out again.
I wanted to watch something.
You needed that.
I wanted to watch something more uplifting than the Bears game. So I watched this haunted house on Haunted Hill, or whatever, the house on Haunted Hill on the Netflix or wherever the hell it's on. And I just figured that was going to be uplifting. That was going to make me. You know, it's all about children who see ghosts and then people die. Right? I thought that was a better outcome than watching Mitchell Trubisky yesterday.
Yikes.
If you want a better outcome, that maybe on Sunday, you want to, if it goes badly on Sunday, go see Sydney Sunday night, or you can see him Saturday night or Friday night, or next Thursday, October 31st. That is Halloween, 21st annual of this particular event. Right, which is the what's it called? The shiver. What is
mind
it?
Shivers.
Mind shivers.
And I've scored more touchdowns in these last 20 minutes than the Bears have all season.
Oh, jeez, rub it in. How true?
That is really true.
Right.
How did that? I don't even understand how any of this works. And how long is the show?
It's 4 hours, no intermission. No, it's. It's about an hour and a half.
About an hour and a half, and there's drinking, I would imagine.
There's eating, you get the whole experience.
Special reduced price, $31.
And go to Lou Malnati's afterwards.
Yeah. Oh, see, that's good. Well, I always go there on the way home anyway.
Yeah.
That would be very good. So it's interactive. There's telepathy. There's ESP. There's mind reading, musical mind reading.
I like the musical mind reading thing.
Yeah.
You read people's mind, you can play the music.
Well, we'll do it here sometime. I'll bring a
keyboard. Yeah, we did this once before.
Maybe we did.
You did bring a keyboard in and do it once. Yeah.
Did,
it was very freaky then when you did it. Now you get to see it. And, you know, after a few drinks and you're sitting there, you know, have a couple glasses of wine or a beer or whatever it is. Next thing you know,
he's doing
this stuff and you're going in your own pants. I mean, that's what happens. That's what happens.
It can happen.
Yeah. But it did. All right. Do not miss it. SydneyFriedman.com. This is how you find Sydney. All right. We've got the news coming right from the Northwestern Minutes newsroom in 2 minutes.